Now that is absolute class. Now that's a great interviewee, Caroline Frost. Luckily, we have been recording that, and it has been going out on air. She's HuffPo Entertainment's editor. Thank you so much for talking to us, paying tribute there, of course, to the late great Sir Roger Moore. Just about five seconds to talk to Mr. John Holmes, who's just come in the studio. It's such a sad loss. That was what we announced during your show yesterday, that Sir Roger Moore had died.
That's right.
The greatest Bond or not?
He was the Bond of my generation, because that's when I grew up, and he was the Bond when Bond films were coming out at that time. So for me, yeah.
When you were fantasising about the Bond girls.
I would never do that, because that's sexist and wrong.
Absolutely. And that's a taster of what's
Hashtag
coming up on John Holmes' show. That's coming up. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe. I'll be back with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. After the 1 o'clock news, you'll be in the safe sort of hands of Mr. John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Your election station. The tension, the turnout, the tears.
Join the conversation party.
Talk Radio.
You know the saying, blink and you'll miss it. Well, you could use it for TalkTalk's Fibre Flash sale. Because for a very short time, you can get TalkTalk Fibre, which is four times faster than standard ADSL broadband, for just £25 a month, including line rental, for 2 whole years. It's Britain's lowest priced fibre compared to Sky, BT and Virgin over 24 months, saving you up to £535 versus BT. But hurry, the flash sale ends June the 1st. Search TalkTalk Fibre and join now. TalkTalk. For everyone.
Comparison with BT excludes voucher and is based on TalkTalk's faster up to 38 meg and BT's Infinity One up to 52 meg packages. Contract and conditions apply.
Mummy and Daddy got 2 free tickets to Legoland with the sun. When they collected 10 tokens inside the paper,
saving us up to £120.
Can I join friends, Dad?
That's 2 free tickets to the Legoland Windsor Resort when you collect 10 tokens inside the sun. Continues this week.
It's lights out and away we go. That emergency plumbing job is no match for Nigel and his Renault traffic van. It's his best performance yet. Renault Pro Plus vans are trusted as the logistics partner to the Renault Sport Formula One team, delivering vital components day in, day out. See how the award-winning Renault Pro Plus range can power your team with reliability and aftercare service you can count on. Visit one of our Renault Pro Plus specialist dealers to find out more.
To the McCulloch man, his McCulloch lawnmower is like the finest footballers across Europe coming together to get the job done. And the morning challenge of the tough, unruly grass facing him, that's like the local pub team. Pathetic. He'll cut them down to size long before the midday kickoff. Game over. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
At 1 o'clock. Good afternoon. It's Wednesday on Talk Radio and elsewhere. I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, more arrested over Manchester attack, troops being deployed, and Chelsea cancel their victory parade.
Talk Radio.
A total of 4 men are now being held in connection with Monday's Manchester terror attack. Investigators are trying to find out if the bomber was working alone. Talk Radio's Alex Dibble is outside one of the houses in the south of the city which has been raided.
It's a quiet and peaceful community, but one that's now in shock, coming to terms with the idea that their neighbours could be the ones behind Monday's horrific attack. These people, just a few doors down, told me they're in disbelief.
Shocked, isn't it? I mean, I just look now and they're raiding another house. The bang yesterday, that was a bit frightening.
Find out that someone that's made a terror attack live around the corner from you, just madness. Really is, I can't believe it.
We realised later on that the person lived there. That killed all them kids. I couldn't believe it. But I didn't know of them. I've never seen that family.
I'm hearing further police raids could be imminent.
Nearly 4,000 troops are being made available to keep the public safe after the threat level was raised to critical last night, indicating a further attack may be imminent. It's believed Salman Abidi had travelled to Syria. Retired Army officer Colonel Richard Kemp used to sit on the Cobra committee hearings. He's told Talk Radio people who've gone abroad for the Islamic State group are often welcome back to the UK.
We think we're then going to convert them from being an extremist who will go out and rape, murder and torture to being a good British citizen, which generally speaking is not the case. But of course, we can't stop everybody who's been out fighting from coming back. That's, you know, we don't have that coverage. But we do have a lot of intelligence on these people.
Police say they've identified all 22 of the victims who were killed at an Ariana Grande pop concert at the city's arena. And in the last few minutes, Chelsea have announced they've cancelled their Premier League victory parade, which was due to take place in London on Sunday in the wake of the attack. In other news, police are questioning a lorry driver arrested after a crash that's left five people dead and another in hospital. They were in a car on the M6 near Stoke when it happened early this morning. And President Trump has met the Pope at the Vatican. The two leaders appear to set aside their contrasting views on the world to offer a united message of peace.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, a united message of peace from the Pope and Donald Trump. What a team.
Indeed.
What a team. And they share values in many ways, don't they? So it's nice that they've met like that. Don't they? Well, you know, the Catholic Church covering up child abuse and Donald Trump covering up his collusions with the Russians. So, you know, they've got cover-ups in sort of common. They can talk about that, can't they? And also the Pope covers up his head with that little hat he's got, doesn't he? And Donald Trump's got that hair. So, you know, cover-ups.
So much in common.
Yep. You got some weather?
Yeah.
Okay, weatherers. Weatherers.
Talk Radio National Weather.
He's weathering us.
Rain in the far northwest of Scotland, dry elsewhere with warm and very sunny spells, highs at 26 degrees.
Thank you very much, Victoria. How are you today?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
Good, fine, thanks, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, good. That's that over with. Right, and now here's Pete Abbott. Thank you. With the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Pete Abbott. Manchester United's Europa League final tonight will have extra significance following Monday's terror attack in the city. They're in Stockholm to face Dutch side Ajax. The winners will not only claim the trophy, but also qualify for the Champions League. Sam Allardyce appears to have effectively retired from football management after his surprise departure from Crystal Palace. He says he has no ambitions to take another job following his resignation. Allardyce only took charge at Christmas, but saved the club from Premier League relegation. He says he wants to save a life while he's still relatively young. Arsenal defender Gabriel's out of Saturday's FA Cup final against Chelsea, adding to Arsene Wenger's shortage at centre-back. A knee injury has ruled him out for up to 2 months. Laurent Koscielny is already missing through suspension. It's understood Nigel Pearson is on a shortlist of three possible candidates to become the new boss of recently relegated Middlesbrough. And England's cricketers take the next step in preparations for the Champions Trophy this afternoon. They face South Africa at Headingley in the first of three one-day internationals. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
There we go. That's Pete Abbott with his pre-recorded sports. Let's Wednesday a programme and things.
Talk Radio.
Having your cake and eating it. That's like getting the Samsung J5 from Tesco Mobile. 500 megabytes, 5,000 texts and 500 minutes for just £15 a month. Plus, we'll throw in 2,000 extra club card points. That's a tasty £20 off your weekly shop. But hurry, offer ends on the 25th of June. So visit in-store or online today. Smile, you're on Tesco Mobile.
Requires a club card and a 24-month credit agreement at 0% APR representative of Tesco Mobile Limited. Standard UK landlines and mobiles includes EU roaming. Club card rules apply. T's and C's at tescomobile.com.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Previously on the John Holmes Show.
Good afternoon, Talk Radio. Yes, indeed it is.
Noisy, brash, irreverent, hyper-energised.
We don't breathe when we're asleep, do we? Or do they hand it in to specific journalists on the line to the feeding of farmyard animals?
It's not a bad solution, is it?
Right, well done, good.
Comey toes.
Rob West from Morgan & West. What is today's bonus news? And telling you what they're doing. Non-specific gender water people as well.
They include Marshall the Pug.
Cornelius has just pointed out that he's dressed as Delboy. But quite complicated.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
So please do subscribe to that. Michael McIntyre's here. You remember it, don't you?
It's good.
Fidget spinners.
Has sparked a police investigation.
Anyway, he deliberately ate a great big whole egg in his face. Egg.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this.
John Holmes.
The radio is one of the outstanding developments of the 20th century.
Radio.
This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat. Nothing is static. Everything is a ball.
Talk Radio.
Who are you?
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
With no power comes no responsibility.
There.
Talk Radio.
When I am bound to get on a journey, the twist of my fabric of nature.
Well, good afternoon then, and welcome. You are listening to me speaking. I am John Holmes, and here we are then deploying Talk Radio onto the streets between now and 4 o'clock. with our levels raised to 3 hours of afternoon entertainment. After yesterday's suspension of normal programming, of course, yesterday we brought you continued coverage of the aftermath of Monday's horrific attack in Manchester. By the way, just to update you on that, despite me asking yesterday, not one terrorist got in touch with the programme. So, I did open the phone lines just to see if any radicalised Islamic fundamentalist hate bombers wanted to talk us through exactly how popping on a vest and going to a children's pop concert is going to tear down the West and bring about a caliphate. You know, not one of them bothered calling, so... Mind you, that could be down to a lack of marketing, I suppose, on Talk Radio's behalf. Perhaps on the day that there was that one poster up on the Euston Road in London, no jihadists went past it, I don't know. Or you're listening to Katie Hopkins on LBC or something. Anyway, that offer remains open. If you coward, would like to call us and tell us exactly how you think your stupid actions are going to achieve anything at all, then 03444991000, we'll take your call. Anyway, hello. Normal service resumed today. Insofar as you can call some ill-conceived radio features, newspaper reviews and poor quality radio games as any kind of either normal or a service. Anyway, that's... Oh, by the way, this is important now. I should take this moment to announce that we have raised the Morrissey idiocy level to critical this afternoon. Morrissey, of course, has been weighing into the terrorism debate with, even by Morrissey standards, some blithering nonsense. Posted something about the Queen's garden party, an attack by extremist rabbits or something, on his Facebook page. So in consultation with the authorities, we've raised the Morrissey idiocy level to critical. And that means that another half-drunk outpouring of thin rhetoric by the vegan arse is imminent. Now, obviously, if we get any news of that, we will be bringing you fair warning as we go along this afternoon. So I imagine you're veritably priapic at the very notion of what we're chucking out of your radio today. So allow me to elucidate. Well, for a start, you are invited to make up a news story. In the bulletin at 2 o'clock, we'd like you to come up with some words that sound a bit like a news story, but is actually fake news, made-up news. Hide a headline in that bulletin. You could hear your nonsense said as truth on the radio. It's that simple. 87222, there's
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
That's right. There's a diversity paper review as well. We'll be going through the papers, of course. And each day we do that, we invite a different diversity in here to do it. Makes us the most diverse programme in broadcasting today. Tara's in. She's going to be going through the papers, and she's Jewish. There's all the day's big stories, of course, run through the poetry gauntlet marked Japanese Oriental short form verse. I'll be honest with you, they're not as moving as a Manchester poet's work, but at least they'll make complex current affairs clearer. Five syllables, seven syllables and five syllables. We present the news in haikus. There's the big debate at three. All your reactions this afternoon, we'll take those. Victoria's bonus news. Work experience punditry. Our work experience Ellie will be in to round up a week's worth of hipster nonsense. That's right. If it pops up with the sole intention of irritating all right-thinking people, you know, in a hipster area of your town. Oh, look, a new cafe's opened up in a space. Oh, what can you do at the new cafe? What's its thing? Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I love it. I go there every day. It's great. Yeah, what do you do then? What you do is you feed an avocado to an owl. Right. And then you just sit round for an hour sipping a flat black. That's new. Waiting for the owl to poo the avocado out onto some toast. It's brilliant. It's brilliant cafe. Owl poo avocado cafe, they call it. Owlicado, it's called. It's really great. Anyway, that kind of thing. So if it's popped up, it'll pop in here with Ellie later as we work our way through the hipster nonsense. Plus, we've got a brand new game for you this afternoon. We're going to be playing a game called Snowflake Buckaroo. Now, if you're familiar with the game Buckaroo, do you remember there was a donkey? Do you remember this, Cornelia? Do you remember the donkey?
Yeah, I remember.
Do you remember the donkey? There's a donkey.
Still a thing.
It's still a thing. I know. I know, but what do you have to do? You had to pile tools on it, like a plastic pickaxe.
Yes.
And a spade and a bucket or something.
Mm.
And the idea was, as soon as you weighed it down, it kicked off, didn't it, the donkey?
Yeah.
But it's that, but we've got a snowflake, a millennial snowflake, and we're going to put trigger words on them and trigger phrases
okay.
until they kick off and run to their safe space. Two contestants battling it out in Snowflake Buckaroo later on the programme. Yeah. I mean, we haven't really thought it through, and it'll be crap, but, you know, we'll give it a go. And we bring you guest action. Hollywood guest action, no less. So, following on from the film Senna, you might have seen that, there's a new documentary film about McLaren, Bruce McLaren, the Formula One racing man. And then the director who directed No Way Out with Kevin Costner, The Bounty with Mel Gibson, Roger Donaldson has made this new film about McLaren. He's going to be joining us to talk about it after 2 o'clock. Ginger Dave is not producing today. Asprod Cass is through the glass. She's through
the miserable window.
Hi, Cass.
Hello.
Hi there, Ooh. Cass. Hi, how are you?
Bit of chirp in that voice. Yeah, there.
I've just had a crisp. It made me happy.
Oh, what flavour was it? Hate flavour.
Yeah.
Oh, egg flavour.
No, I don't eat eggs anymore.
Well, why do you still smell of an egg? Oh, so it wasn't the eating of the eggs that was doing it. Oh, interesting stuff. She stood near the window earlier because it's a sunny day, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
And some smoke came off her. Sorry.
I'm melting.
Like a boiled witch. Chloe's on the buttons. Hi, Chloe.
Hi.
Victoria's on the news today. Paid intern Cornelius is here.
Yes. Just about. Oh.
He's Talk Radio's political editor. We'll be hearing.
Award-winning
political editor. What award have you won exactly? Okay. Anyway, he's here later with reports, bringing us up to date on all things election. Talk Radio in the afternoons, then. Welcome along. I'm John Holmes. And, of course, we need to get into today's big story, and we need to do it with some music. Regular listeners will know this. A little bit of production value, production colour, if you like. A song and a title. It leads to today's big story, but what's the big story? Work it out from the clues in this.
What a beautiful day! Some say that that's impossible, but you and I would never look back. And wasn't it incredible? So beautiful, and above all, just to see the fuse get lit this time, to light a real bonfire for all time. And what a beautiful day. In my all-powerful mind. I was drinking in my nightclub. It felt good to be back. When a heifer said I love you, and Flynn said make my Jack.
Okay then.
Was then we planned the revolution to make things better for all time.
So there's today's big song.
Crazy.
Linking us to today's big story. It's the Levellers.
What a beautiful day.
So Cornelius, how can that link to today's big story exactly? Bearing in mind the clues in the song. Have you worked it out yet?
Are we doing just sort of weather news?
Because it's sunny, isn't it?
It's a very lovely day.
Isn't it here
in London, not sure.
I think most of the country, Victoria's saying, is basking in sunshine, so it is a beautiful day, isn't it? That there is no doubt. However, it's nothing to do with that. No, it's nothing to do with the title. It's more to do with the name of the band.
Levellers.
Yes.
It's something level.
Ah.
Ah! The security level.
You're critical.
Critical.
It's been raised. There you go. It was just that. Yeah. Quite an easy one today, wasn't it? Anyway, there we are. So there it is. Well, as we know, of course, all over the front pages of the papers today, the security level, as of last night, was raised to critical. Only the third time it's happened in a good number of years, of course. But what does it mean when the level is raised to critical? What does it mean for you, the public? We've heard about the army being deployed in place of the armed police to free them up to go and police other areas. But what does it actually all mean? Well, we're going to find out. Of course, we're going to need a guest. We're going to be talking to Major Chris Hunter. He's a bomb disposal expert. He's a former British Army officer, and he knows what he's talking about. So we're going to bring you up to date on all things critical level on Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The manifestos, the mandates, the mother of all radio stations.
I mean, why shouldn't the public know more about what's going on?
Talk Radio.
Are you serious?
You know the saying, blink and you'll miss it? Well, you could use it for TalkTalk's Fibre Flash sale. Because for a very short time, you can get TalkTalk Fibre, which is four times faster than standard ADSL broadband, for just £25 a month, including line rental, for 2 whole years. It's Britain's lowest-priced fibre compared to Sky, BT and Virgin over 24 months, saving you up to £535 versus BT. But hurry, the flash sale ends June the 1st. Search TalkTalk Fibre and join now. TalkTalk. For everyone.
Comparison with BT excludes voucher and is based on TalkTalk's faster up to 38 meg and BT's Infinity One up to 52 meg packages. Contract and conditions apply.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Stephen Saunders from Nottingham received £1,856 on his credit card.
I wasn't sure whether I'd pay PPI on my credit card. Stanton Fisher did everything for me and took control of the claim. I would happily recommend Stanton Fisher to friends and family.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Right, that's it. This relationship is over.
Eric.
When I think of the money I spent on you. But it was never enough, was it? There was always something else. What was it you had to have last time?
Eric.
A starter motor?
At Van Monster, every van is covered by our price match promise, our unique 5-day money-back guarantee, and includes a 6-month warranty. Terms and conditions apply. Find your perfect work partner at vanmonster.com.
I'm leaving you for a younger van.
Where do you search for greatness? Hiring the right people can transform a business. But where are they? Indeed has more candidates than any other job site in the UK. Start your search for greatness by posting a job on Indeed.com today. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com, according to Comscore.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Motorway traffic is doing okay at the moment. The M6 is looking much better now after it was reopened between junction 15 and 14 between Stoke and Stafford after it was closed off for most of the morning following a serious accident. You will find the M25 is moving well. There's an accident causing delays on the A2 through Kent heading between Gravesend and Cobham. Grass cutting work causing delays on the A31 Farnham bypass in Surrey and still road closures around Manchester Arena and Manchester City Centre. I'm Jamie Sercombe.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money's Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money's Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money's Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. It is Talk Radio. I am John Holmes, just coming up to 20 past the time. And, well, it's time to talk about today's big story. So as we know, following the terrible events in Manchester on Monday night, the terror threat level in the UK has been raised to critical. Three men in South Manchester were arrested this morning in connection with the attack. That brings the total of those in custody to four. The threat level is decided by the Joint Terrorism Analysis Centre. That's a body made up of experts from police, government and security agencies. And it's only been reached, the level of critical, twice before, I think. It sees troops deployed on the street protecting high-level targets. That frees up armed police to be deployed elsewhere. Now, personally, what a frightened nation and a concerned population, rightly concerned, I think, what we need to do to reassure the public is perhaps, and this is just my idea, bring back the laughing policeman. Do you remember the laughing policeman? Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, it was a song and a character from, like, the 70s and stuff, and he, ha-ha-ho, he went like that. And he was a big, sort of ruddy-faced, fat policeman.
Okay.
And everyone loved him, and it was a hugely successful hit single. The Laughing Policeman.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, and the cutbacks, of course, meant that the units of Laughing Policemen have all gone now. You used to see them on street corners, didn't you, all fat and red-faced and laughing, cheering up the public, but not anymore. No one's really laughing anymore. What exactly does the critical level mean, though, for you and me? We've been hearing a lot about it. What does it mean? Do we change the way we go about our business? Let's find out, because a man who knows what he's talking about is on the telephone. He's Major Chris Hunter. He's a bomb disposal expert, former British Army officer. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Thanks very much for joining us. So, critical level then, Chris. Am I right? It's only the third time this has happened, certainly in recent times?
That's right. I mean, certainly in the last 20 years. In fact, we haven't even had the levels for 20 years. But 7/7 was really the last time we saw it, you know, in earnest. And what it means is basically an attack is imminent, because we obviously were all very aware of the suicide bombing that took place in Manchester. This would suggest that it was part of a network and not a lone wolf. It would suggest that there's intelligence to suggest that there's going to be other attacks, other suicide bombers potentially.
Right.
And that's why they're freeing up the resources to carry on with the investigations, to get the armed police on the streets where they need to be, and the more static locations and key points can then be manned by the army.
I see. And in terms of why they may think that this isn't a lone wolf attacker, or as we are calling them on this programme, because I don't want to give them even the term, satisfaction of the term wolf, frankly, but lone arse, is it a case of the technique used in this attack, rather than the sort of marauding that we've heard about with the cars and knives and so on and so forth, is it a case of building something like a homemade bomb in that way requires more than just the one person doing it? Is that the thinking behind this?
That's one of the aspects, certainly. There's a number of different aspects, components to it. When they carry out the investigation, and I was involved in, you know, countless terrorism investigations, because any bomb technician would investigate bombings as well as, you know, neutralising bombs that haven't gone off as well. So
yeah,
what they would do is they would look at the forensics, any DNA, all that sort of stuff left by the components. They would look at the associates and the network, and they would look at the level of technical sophistication, both of the device or the weapon system used, and also the level of sort of tactical awareness that was used in the attack. So for this, for example, the bomber knew that there was fairly extensive searches in any arena or stadium or, you know, public event before the members of the public go into the event.
Mm.
He also knew that at the end of a major event, they tend to just open the doors to get everyone out as quickly and safely as possible. So the security doesn't really exist at that point.
Yeah.
Now, he would have, you know, carried out a recce. He would have, you know, done the observations, identified those vulnerabilities. And that's not usually just done by one person. And certainly, you know, that coupled with the level of sophistication of the device that we've heard about, I haven't actually seen the device. All I know is that, you know, there was certainly fragmentation incorporated in it, and it was a powerful device,
yeah,
which would suggest a high explosive. So that all of these things suggest a level of technical ability, and it's very rare for, you know, one person to be able to do that on their own.
Of course, and it wouldn't, and of course, the Terrorism Analysis Centre wouldn't be entering into this lightly in any way at all, of course, because, am I right, it brings together sort of these separate bodies, experts from the police and the military and the government, using all of their knowledge and pooling information, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I finished off my career as an intelligence officer. I was part of the Defence Intelligence Staff. But basically, you've got five organisations in the UK, MI5, domestic, MI6, foreign, GCHQ, the signals and communications guys, Cobra, they have their own intelligence cell as well,
okay.
And the defence intelligence staff. All five of those feed in to JTAC, and JTAC sort of correlates it all, and it's multi-source intelligence, as we call it. But in addition to that, we also work with our allies overseas and use intelligence reports from there as well. So all of these sources come together, they're all analysed, and then it builds up that intelligence picture, which is coupled with the evidential aspects as well, the actual investigation. Because ultimately, we still have to bring these people to trial and prosecute them.
Yeah, indeed. And it's nothing to do with the government, because that's confusing some people as well, saying Theresa May has raised the threat level. She has nothing to do with it. She's just supporting this decision, which is the government thing to do, isn't it?
Well, basically, yeah. I mean, you have what's called COBRA, and that's the Cabinet Office briefing room, mm-hmm. where it's normally the Prime Minister heads it up. And she'll have various ministers. She'll also have, the head of the armed forces, insofar as the chief of the defence staff, maybe the director of special forces, the head of the counter-terrorism command, so on and so forth, all the intelligence agencies. She will then basically speak to them. She will make the ultimate decision. She's the person empowered to do it. But crucially, the governments come and go, if you like. The ministers come and go. But that bedrock,
yeah,
is the armed forces, the police, the intelligence services, the civil service. They're the continuity. So those are the people that really feed and influence it.
Of course. And in terms of, because we're hearing this story about the army being deployed, which of course makes it sound far more, it's almost scaremonger in a way. And it's not a case of the army being deployed on the streets, is it? It's a case of they are now being put into key sites, such as Buckingham Palace, Downing Street, Westminster, etc., to free up the armed police that would ordinarily be there. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, the military, as we all know, has always supported the country during any sort of national contingency, whether it's foot and mouth, whether it's the floods, whether it's the fire service strikes, whatever it might be. The military is always called in to support under what they call military aid to the civil powers.
Yeah.
But this is a specific operation. It's not martial law, It's not some sort of military coup. They're there, a specific number of people readily trained to go onto the streets to reinforce the armed police. And as I said, as you just said there as well, to guard those key points, those key installations, so that you can free up the armed police officers to go and do the tactical operations on the ground.
So as civilians, as indeed we are, what are we going to notice, if anything?
I think really what we're going to notice is a more visible police presence, both in terms of normal uniformed cops and, of course, firearms police as well.
Yeah.
I think, there's been many discussions over the last few years about cuts in the police and increases in crime. I think everybody would welcome, the sight of a more uniform presence anyway. What we'll also see, at Buckingham Palace, we've always seen soldiers deployed at Buckingham Palace anyway, the guards who protect the Queen. But it won't just be that ceremonial presence. We'll actually see soldiers in their combat fatigues,
yeah,
deployed in certain locations as well.
And how long, which I realise it's a difficult question, but how long can this sort of critical level, is it till they think they've sort of neutralised the imminent threat, as it were, and then we'll sort of go back to severe, presumably?
Absolutely. I mean, these sort of operations, they're short-term. They're not sustainable long-term operations. They're called in as a reinforcement. And if, as I suspect, I've been working in counterterrorism for 25 years, this is normally raised because of... Sorry, my other phone's ringing now.
That's
I do apologise.
Right. No problem.
It's normally raised because there's intelligence. So I would suspect there's a risk of other suicide bombers or other bombers. They're going to go in, the police and the security services will go and find them, they'll arrest them, and then as soon as that threat is neutralised, then we'll go back to business as normal.
All right, listen, I'll let you get your other phone call. Major Chris Hunter there, thank you very much indeed. Interesting stuff. Bomb disposal expert, former British Army officer, bringing us up to speed on what that critical level, the raising of the levels critical, means. Now, The Sun have launched the Together with Manchester appeal to raise money for the victims and the families of the Manchester Arena terror attacks. So far, we know 22 people have died, 59 injured after the suicide bombing at Ariana Grande's gig at the Manchester Arena. The Sun's appeal will raise money for families of the victims to help them rebuild their lives to make a stand against terror. All money raised will be handed over to the We Love Manchester Emergency Fund, which you may have been hearing about, which will aim to provide assistance quickly and immediately to the victims and their families. The fund is being managed by the Lord Mayor of Manchester's charity We Love Manchester and the British Red Cross. If you would like to donate, here are the details. Online, www.justgiving.com. So that's the Just Giving website, and you're looking for Together with Manchester. So justgiving.com/Together with Manchester. If you'd like to text the donation, then it's TWMC50, and then your amount to this number, 70070. That's the number. So text TWMC50, then the amount, to 700 70 7 0 0 0, or you and you can donate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or £10. You will be charged for your text message. Please refer, or you may be, please refer to your network operator's standard rates. So that's the Together with Manchester appeal. Right, details are done. In the next bit of the programme, we will be hiding a news story in the 2pm bulletin. And we will be going through the papers, of course, Diversity Paper Review. Tara's in to do that with us. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoon. It's just after 1:30. I'm John Holmes. Victoria's got the news now.
Talk Radio.
Raids are being carried out across Manchester by police investigating Monday's terror attack at a pop concert. Three men have been arrested today, taking the total number of people in custody to four. Armed police are searching a flat near Piccadilly Station. Lynn Deacon lives in the block and has told Talk Radio she was alerted to them by a fire alarm.
About five or six of them looked a bit smoky, which might have been what set the fire alarm off. And one just came through the doors and said, oh, go downstairs.
Soldiers have arrived at Downing Street as military personnel are being deployed to keep the public safe. It's after the terror threat level was raised to the highest possible, critical. Meanwhile, the bomber Salman Abdi is believed to have just returned from Libya. The Times chief reporter Sean O'Neill has been speaking to Talk Radio.
Probably within the last week, returned to Britain from Libya. He seems to have been away for at least 3 weeks. That period is now absolutely crucial in terms of investigation and discovering what he was doing, who he was meeting, and was he tasked with carrying out some sort of martyrdom operation.
Officers say they're now confident they know the names of all the 22 people who died at the Manchester Arena. 64 are still in hospital, while Chelsea have cancelled Sunday's planned Premier League victory parade in London as a response. In other news, a man has been arrested in possession of a knife near Buckingham Palace. The incident is not believed to be terror-related. And a lorry driver has been arrested after a crash which killed five people on the M6 near Stoke. They were all in a Nissan Micra, which is involved in the collision. The weather: rain in the far northwest of Scotland, dry elsewhere, with very warm sunny spells, highs of 26 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
Thank you very much, Victoria.
It's all right.
Now, today's bonus news, people are asking already. Clamouring is the word I'm going to use.
Really?
Clamouring. That's right. Where are we up to?
I literally have no idea.
I think it's mineral news.
It best not be.
I think it is. I think it might be. And you know it's the nation's favourite. Clamouring they are. Anyway, Victoria's bringing us her bonus news in around 2 hours' time. Thanks, Victoria.
Thanks.
Great. Good, right, OK. Still to come in this bit, right? Make up a news story. Make it up using words that you know. Put them in an order that sort of sounds a bit like a news story. And then you could hear it in the bulletin at 2pm. It's where we hide the headline to confuse those who aren't listening to this bit. Details of that coming up, as, of course, are today's stories in the papers in the Diversity Paper Review.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
If you want a nutritious, balanced and well-informed start to your day, there's only one way to wake up. Alongside me, Paul Ross, and I promise not to hog the duvet, just join me from 6 each and every weekday morning for a delicious, lip-smacking Full Set Election Breakfast.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right then, so as previously indicated, we now wish to take your made-up news stories. Remember fake news? Remember when Donald Trump kept banging on about fake news and alternative facts and all that stuff? excuse me. the reason you're having to hear me cough down a microphone or slightly off microphone is because there's a button in here, okay, in the studio called the cough button. We've talked about it before, and the idea is if you have a little bit of a tickly throat, you can press the cough button and it mutes the microphones, doesn't it?
Very clever.
It's very clever. Unfortunately, Paul Ross poured coffee into the desk about a month and a half ago and wrecked the whole thing. And being this place, no one's bothered to fix it or anything. There's other things broken that broke as well, like all of the faders and stuff.
Yeah, they've put a work experience on it.
Have they?
Yeah.
Great. So anyway, that doesn't work, which is why. So that's Paul Ross. It's Paul Ross, directly his fault that you have to hear me cough slightly because I'm a little cough.
Mm-hmm.
made-up news stories shoved unceremoniously, or ceremoniously if you'd like it that way, into the 2pm bulletin. That's all it is. And we invite you to make that story up. Very simply, use some words and send them to us. Cornelius, what have you got there?
This is from Tom, who sent in this hidden headline. He says, M&S have said that they are going to attack it, their profit falls, with new strands of subliminal... Subliminal advertising on radio stations. The profit falls are thought to be down to the store's dining for two for £10 deal, which offers up a top quality main dill side dish, dessert and bottle of wine for just £10. A deal so good that it does make you question their overheads.
Well, it does actually, doesn't it?
I don't get how they do it.
No, because you brought this to my attention. A while ago, saying that you didn't understand how this was possible. So what did you get? So I mean, are we not, you know, other supermarkets are available, obviously.
So Tesco do a set very similar.
There you
deal.
Go. So what is it? You've got. You get a main course.
A main course.
Yeah.
This a big one.
Yeah.
You get a side dish.
Yeah.
A dessert.
Yeah.
And a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And sometimes a bottle of wine can change. Last time I got two beers.
Right. You live on the edge, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just £10.
Yeah.
But you can get that in other supermarkets, let's be clear, who all do similar sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're right. In any supermarket, that is worth more than £10, isn't it?
Yeah, like a lot more.
The wine alone is close to that, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Or is it a really cheap bottle of wine?
I don't know.
Anyway,
I don't drink wine.
Well, no wonder
so
they've
it's
lost,
hard to tell.
They've lost their profits.
I mean, to be fair, I think it's quite an old deal. I don't know
if they still do it anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, good. All right, what have I got here then? Hum. There has been a recent upsurge in fidget spinner related crime.
No, not again.
Amongst the under 12s. This isn't to be confused, by the way, with a midget spinner. I don't know whether you've come across that. That's.
Yes, I have.
That's a very different thing.
I know, yeah. You came in crying today, didn't you? You were so upset.
Shut up. Offences, of course, include thefts, assaults, robberies and perjury, all related to the toys that are plaguing the playgrounds at the moment. A fidget spinner prohibition is being considered. I don't know what a fidget spinner is for. I've seen a fidget spinner, and I have indeed...
They're little toys.
I know it is, and I've spun it. I've spun a fidget.
Yes.
Right. Have you spun a fidget?
I have, yeah. I spun Paul Ross's fidget.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you really? Where did you
show me.
Where did you see
just
that?
In the office.
Did he just get it out there? Did you get it out in the office?
Yeah, yeah.
As anyone can spin his fidget?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. What colour is it?
Green.
Yeah. Right. And what does it do?
It just whirls around.
But I don't see the point of it.
I did.
I honestly don't know, it just whirls around, right? It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be a distraction for some kids who have behavioural disabilities.
Right, and it's just sort of caught on, has it?
Yeah, and then apparently kids have worked out sort of little tricks they can do, like spin it and then balance it on their finger.
Right. Is Paul Ross encouraging that kind of behaviour?
Yeah, he showed me that.
Yeah, good.
He showed me all sorts, John.
Did he?
Yeah.
Great news. All right, anyway, if you'd like to hide a headline in the 2pm bulletin, you can get in touch with us right now. 87222 is the number.
Start your message with the word
Talk. At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
And there it is. And next we'll go through the papers. Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Mummy and Daddy got two free tickets to Legoland with the sun. When they collected 10 tokens inside the paper...
saving us up to £120.
Can I join friends, Dad?
That's two free tickets to the Legoland Windsor Resort when you collect 10 tokens inside the sun. Continues this week.
And now the latest traffic news. There are widespread reports of camels, yes, camels, on roads right across the region. But no hold-ups. Once those camels fill up, they keep going. Like when you fill up with BP Ultimate with active technology. It removes dirt to help your engine perform at its best, so you can keep moving. And finally, reports of more camels on the ring road. Keep moving with BP Ultimate. Green lights all the way.
Benefits achieved over time and may vary due to factors including vehicle type, condition and driving style. See bp.com/ultimate.
Spring collection sofas are up to half price at DFS. But you better be quick because savings on selected sofas end bank holiday Monday. DFS.
My thing, Guatemalan Cortado. As coffees go, it's pretty lively. Must have smashed out 24 spreadsheets in half an hour. Boom. Which is, funnily enough, what my laptop did when I spilt my Cortado all over it. Oh, no. So, I need a new one. 15-inch display, 1 terabyte hard drive, and no big price tag. Refurb it is.
Jake's thing. It's got to be a refurbished laptop from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
Lotto's £24.5 million jackpot must be won this Wednesday, which for some lucky winners could make life pretty... Now, what's the word?
Fantastic.
No, not that.
Wonderful.
No.
Beautiful. It's true.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Anyone can win with Lotto. Please, don't let it be him. Estimated jackpot. Game rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
It's lights out and away we go. That emergency plumbing job is no match for Nigel and his Renault traffic van. It's his best performance yet. Renault Pro Plus vans are trusted as the logistics partner to the Renault Sport Formula One team, delivering vital components day in, day out. See how the award-winning Renault Pro Plus range can power your team with reliability and aftercare service you can count on. Visit one of our Renault Pro Plus specialist dealers to find out more.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
Starting to the west of Yorkshire with a closure through Keighley of the northbound A629 as you move around the A650. It's closed after a serious accident there and traffic's beginning to build quickly. There's still road closures in the centre of Manchester following the attack on Monday evening. Victoria Station remains closed as well. There's queues through Rutland on the southbound A1. We're just trying to get to the bottom of why, but you're queuing towards Great Casterton. And there's delays into Bristol on Rupert Street. That's because of ongoing roadworks. I'm Joanna Adams.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money's Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money's Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money's Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories, original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon, by the way, if you're just joining us. Welcome along. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. And, well, the news. I mean, there's a lot of it, obviously. All over the place, isn't it, the news today? But what we do know is very complicated indeed.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
No, I know. Many people can't, but it's all right because we're here to help, as ever. Because we take the news and we drill down deeply into the issues that matter, and we do that with our news drill. And when you do that, it's tipped with current affairs. When you get right down into the nitty-gritty of the news, what you find is it's full of Japanese poetry. So that's how we bring the news to you, by rendering it easy and clear through Oriental short form verse. 5 syllables, 7 syllables and 5 syllables, we present the news in haikus.
Trump meets Pope Dodder, re old man with silly thing on his head, said Pope.
The news in haikus. So here Here we go then, we're going through the newspapers. Well, that's standard, isn't it, for any broadcast outlet. But what we do is invite a different diversity in here each day to do it, making us the most diverse programme in broadcasting, Tara. That's what it makes us. That's what it makes us. That's what we are. That's what the people are saying. Remind us of your diversity, if you would.
I'm a Jew.
That's right! Now then, where are we going to start? I guess the papers today are pretty much full of the same story.
Yeah,
that we'd expect
so obviously
them to be, yeah,
so. Information still emerging, yeah, about the attack on Monday night. Amber Rudd said that the man who carried out the suicide attack, who's been identified, was likely to have not acted alone. The threat level is now at its highest level, which, yep, is critical. I think this is the third time.
Yes, we were
the
talking.
The only third time it's been raised.
That's right, talking about this earlier. And the records, I think, go back 20 years or something, 17
yeah.
to 20 years. And, of course, there was a time when there was a direct threat to airports, I think.
Glasgow Airport, I think it was.
Yeah, and then there were tanks at Heathrow as well at one point. Mm.
With the liquid,
that's
yeah.
exactly right. So this is the third time. So it's a rare occurrence.
It is rare. It is rare. But obviously Theresa May is saying she's doing everything to prevent another attack. Military personnel are being deployed to protect key sites. Westminster's closed. The changing of the guard ceremony has been cancelled. That's going to help redeploy police officers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, all the papers, I suppose, today are just covering this.
Yeah,
blanket,
obviously.
Blanket coverage, isn't it? Yeah.
We know that 20 are in critical condition,
yeah,
still in hospital,
yeah,
and being treated all over Greater Manchester.
Yeah. And it continues to unfold. I think we were just hearing in the news of Victoria there's a raid on a flat near Piccadilly Circus this afternoon as well.
Really?
Which we're hearing about. We don't know the outcome of that yet, but that we'll bring you that, of course, throughout the afternoon as we go. Is there anything lighter in the papers, Tara? Anything?
Well, this is good because a record 250,000 young people have signed up to vote 24 hours before the deadline for closing.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because that's the highest level. So that's over 622,000 young people. Nearly a quarter of a million were under age 25. And maybe that's down to Jeremy Corbyn saying that university fees would be abolished. I don't know.
All of the parties, as we should say, balance, tend to target demographic groups with this kind of stuff. And they do a lot of research, I would say, going into their manifesto promises of going, all right, well, here's a demographic we're going to go after and we're going to target this. Of course, Theresa May came under criticism for hers, didn't she, with the whole dementia tax?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, he's laid out quite well. The policy is going to cost $7.5 billion a year. But they're insisting that the policy will come into effect for students beginning the course like this coming year.
All right, so that's quite a quick turnaround.
Yeah, that is a quick turnaround. But obviously that would be like quite persuasive if you were a student starting university.
Yeah.
But they're obviously saying like, even if you've registered, make sure to turn up, which I didn't
You didn't what?
To Brexit.
You didn't.
I'll tell you what happened. No, I'll tell you what happened. It's the first time I publicly said it.
Yeah.
So I was on. I was with my boyfriend in Malaga,
and we'd booked. Of course you were. Where else?
And we'd booked flights. We were coming back. Our flight was, I think we were due to land at like 9 a.m, and we were going to go to the polling station. And the day before, I just said, Jack, look, obviously we're not going to be leaving the EU. Let's just extend our flights.
Wow.
And he
this
was very,
is your fault.
I know. He was very, it took a lot of emotional persuasion from me. But in the end, he changed the flights. And obviously we watched the votes come in and he took it very personally. He was like, what have I done?
I was about to start blaming a flight company there for delaying your flights home because I thought that was what the story was. I was about to start blaming them for Brexit.
Yeah.
Name
and shame that flight company.
Yeah,
but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Your apathy.
My apathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's the reason we broke up.
I mean, I didn't know we were going down that route, but okay, fine. If you know, that's fine. Was there a row that led to that?
No, I say he took it very personally. Yeah, he was like, I should have.
Yeah.
I should have gone home and you should have stayed, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That never would have worked.
No. Well, are you going anywhere during the forthcoming election, by any chance?
No, I'm going away on a Saturday.
Are you?
To Ibiza.
Ibiza?
Ibiza, yeah.
Going down the Ibizas.
Wow. Yeah, going to Ibiza.
Yeah. You're going to have it large, as I believe they say, the kids, don't they?
Absolutely not. The quietest place and the quietest day. I don't want to see anyone.
Where are you on Ibiza? The quiet side of the island? Then?
You know, there's one really loud half of the island where all the youths go.
Is that the Ibiza town?
I think.
I don't know.
I'm on the other side. San Antonio.
That's where I'm
San Antonio's not quiet.
Have I made that on?
San Antonio's where they filmed Ibiza Uncovered.
Name of the big nightclub. You're staying in the nightclub.
San Antonio.
Please don't say that, because I thought it was really cheap when I booked it. And
have you seen the Inbetweeners movie?
Did they go to Ibiza?
But
Malia.
It's the same thing.
Oh, don't say, please don't. I just want to read a book. That's all I want to do.
Yeah. Why have you gone to Ibiza then?
Yeah, go to a library.
The cheapest flight.
Well, it's cheaper to go on holiday in a library, isn't it?
I looked at Crete, I looked at France, it's so expensive. My flights were £55 to Ibiza. Oh my
God. Well, it wouldn't be as bad if you got back and voted for not Brexit.
Yeah, I know. We're not that guilt, but
You want to read a book, but you've chosen the party island.
I had to balance it with my budget,
right?
Do you know what I mean? And now I feel like I've been tricked because it was really cheap. I'm staying on a campsite,
right?
Really?
Because they have nice little chalets. You say okay, but I looked at the map today, and the toilet is like a long.
There's no
long
toilet
way
in your
away.
Chalet.
No, because it's a campsite, but it does have like a little swimming pool that everyone shares.
Like a wee in that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to use that.
I mean, if you pitch your tent next to that, and then at night when no one's really looking. Oh, they're all up all night, though, anyway, aren't they?
Anyway. No one's going to be up all night. My bedtime is 10 p.m.
Right. They're going to be up all...
You'll tops.
Be, but either way, you'll be able... If you pitch next to the swimming pool, you won't have to walk to the toilets. You could just, you know...
I could.
Aim it out the flat.
Yeah, swim quite deeply.
Of the tent, to be clear.
That's the difficulty of being a girl. You can't really do that.
Take one of those cups.
She-wees.
If you like.
Or a big bottle, like this Evian bottle.
Take a teepee and take a shiwi.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, well, there you go. Just want to help. Well, you know, that's lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
good.
You.
But again, you could have just gone to a library. It's a...
I mean, I could. And also, I've checked the weather as well. This is annoying because I wanted to go somewhere hot. And the weather is hotter here this weekend than it is in Ibiza.
Ah.
So I could have done a library, park.
Yes. Read your book.
In East Finchley, where
10.
I live.
You've probably got a toilet in your house.
Yeah, got a toilet in my house. Yeah.
You've been in more mod cons and luxury. You're some kind of mad idiot, Tara. What are you doing?
No, I really have, yeah. No, don't. I was really excited about this.
And imagine the state
don't
of a flight that
down.
Costs 50 quid.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's like an airline I've never heard of as well.
Oh, God.
And I'm a scared flyer, so that's
there's gonna
that
be,
doesn't help.
You'll get there and it'll be a coach.
Yeah. It's one of those, it's got no frills. I mean, there's literally, you want wings? Extra. There's come on, charging the passengers for all the stuff. Toilet on the plane? Extra. Pilot? Extra.
Pilot.
And also, if it's a budget airline, it won't even land on Ibiza.
No,
it'll land on a neighbouring island. That.
It'll be the opposite of United. You know, security will have to keep you on the plane.
Also, I've checked in no luggage, obviously, because that costs more. So I don't know how that's
going
to work.
So you're just
gonna
go
I'm just going to
go with one book in your hand and that is it.
Wow.
And a bottle.
And a shiwi.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay, what else is in the papers?
Well, this is parents should enforce a weeknight bedtime on children to ensure they get enough sleep, says a study.
Well, I tend to enforce a weeknight bedtime on my children, isn't it?
So the poll found that parents who made their child go to bed rather than just encouraging them were 59% more likely to see them meet sleep guidelines. Which is a bit silly, because obviously we know that.
Yeah.
But this doctor saying enforcement of bedtimes do have a really significant impact. But I was thinking, it's funny because like when I was eight, the fourth child was born and my parents just gave up at that point and were like, you can go to bed
feral.
Whenever you want. Yeah. Just, they went to bed and just left us all to it.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever really been an 8-hour sleep person.
Well, you and your 10 p.m. bedtime that you're talking about.
Right? No, but this is why I'm going to Ibiza. I need sleep.
There are people listening to this thinking, what's she doing going to Ibiza?
No, Ibiza, but the cheapest
sleep.
Flights and a really quiet area of Ibiza and a chalet.
You're not even in a chalet, you're in a tent.
Give it no toilet. No, it's a. It looks like a sauna. I've seen a picture.
Right.
It's like three beds in like a little they describe it as a chalet.
Right.
It's just a little box.
Right. Is it full of foam? I bet there's a foam party in there the
no,
whole
no,
time.
No, don't. No, absolutely. Please, oh, please.
But it's like manumission. No, you'll get there. You'll open the door going, oh, I'm here. So tired. I just want to lie down and read my book. There'll be a big old foam sex party going on in your chalet.
The only foam party I've been to 7 years ago or whatever in Cars, worst night of my life. I hated it. Not do, it's not happening again.
I've never been to a foam party.
I haven't. It just sounds like the worst idea. Basically, you're paying like probably 10 quid extra for a really cold walk home. That's all it is. Just
you
like,
also,
really
like,
cold.
See people around you drowning, like literally drowning, because the foam obviously
melts. Like that. Yeah. In a nightclub, yeah.
And I remember I was really badly burnt as well, and this foam just kept like spurting out, and it was just painful and. Kind of,
well, that's Ibiza for you. Right, I think we're going to leave that one there. Tara, thank you for coming
You're
in.
Welcome. You're very welcome.
Have a lovely holiday.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. All right, so that's Tara with our diversity pay-per-view. Remind us of your diversity, if you would.
I am Jewish.
That's right. So now, in the next bit of the programme, we'll be talking to a film director.
Oh, lovely.
I know, isn't it, though? Roger Donaldson is his name. He made, you know, remember No Way Out with Kevin Costner, The Bounty with Mel Gibson and... Yeah, 13 Days,
no.
Also with Kevin...
Just
no,
say yes.
Anyway,
yes.
Anyway, he's made a new film about Bruce McLaren, the F1
oh,
driver,
wow.
In the sort of style of Senna. And he's going to be in to talk to us about that. After 2 o'clock.
I'll be listening.
Yeah. And we've got a brand new game as well. I mean, you liar. We've got a brand new game before four as well called Snowflake Buckaroo. All the details of that coming as well on the programme. A small matter of hidden headline, though. We need a... We need a name and we need a place. Who's got their made-up story in the news? Cornelius, a name.
It's Sam.
Hello, Sam. Hi, Sam. Where's Sam from?
Sam is from Plymouth.
Plymouth. Oh, right. Okay. So that's on the way. Talk radio in the afternoons, then. I am John Holmes. News on the way next.
How are we going to make the whole nation rise? Agitate, educate, organise. Join the conversation party.
Well, I can't add anything to that, Colin.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
Have you noticed how words that describe big things are, well, big? The word colossal is pretty sizable. Humongous would win any game of Scrabble. Then there's the phrase, the original bundle from Sky. Loads of channels, big screen drama, and a 1 terabyte Sky Q box. The smallest thing about it is the price. Sky TV for £22 a month. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better.
Direct debit subject status. £20 setup. Sky Q loaned at no cost. Minimum contract and terms apply.
When the McCulloch man mows his lawn with his McCulloch lawnmower, he powers through even the toughest grass with one goal in mind. To finish the job before the match starts. And with his McCulloch lawnmower... He's got the power to get the job done. That's why his mates envy his lawn, as well as his team. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
Imagine this. It's time to change your car. Someone offers to buy it. Great, but only if you buy your new car from them. Ugh, which means you don't have the freedom to shop around for a better deal. Well, that's what happens when you trade your car in. So why not try selling to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then you'll be a cash buyer, all footloose and fancy-free, off to try and get a better deal on your next car. Imagine that. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
At 2 o'clock, good afternoon. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria. She's got the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, raids in Manchester after attack. Security is tightened and more victims are identified.
Talk Radio.
Three men have been arrested in connection with the Manchester concert suicide bombing as a part of a huge investigation into the attack. Investigators are now trying to work out whether the bomber was working alone or not. Raids have been carried out in the south of the city as well as in the centre. Louise Bolleton lives in the building, which is near Manchester Piccadilly Station. She's told Talk Radio about the flat, which has been stormed by police.
I've been told it's been rented out as an Airbnb, so it could have been anybody in there. Just, I've not seen anybody brought out at all I don't even know if whoever they're interested in is actually in the building.
Nearly 1,000 soldiers have been deployed on the streets after the UK's terror threat level was raised last night. As security has tightened at events across the country, it's been announced that Chelsea's Premier League victory parade has been cancelled. London's Mayor Sadiq Khan says people should not be worried.
They will see officers who are carrying firearms, and they will see military personnel. No reason at all to be panicked, no reason at all to be alarmed. We're doing all that we can to keep Londoners and visitors safe.
More of the 22 victims are being named. The latest is 14-year-old Nell Jones. She's been described as a popular and bright student. 12-year-old Jessica Healy was also at the Ariana Grande concert. She's told Talk Radio she's struggling to understand what happened.
It's horrible how someone could do such a thing like that. Because, like, I was counting down the days to the concert and I can imagine other people were, but in reality they were actually counting down the days until they die, and it's just a horrible thing. Why would anyone do that?
And in other news, a lorry driver involved in a fatal crash on the M6 has been arrested. Five people died when the truck and a car collided.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Rain in the far northwest of Scotland, dry elsewhere with some warm sunny spells, highs of 26 degrees.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Now here's Pete Abbott, Pat Abbott, with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Pete Abbott. Manchester United players, fans and staff will pay their respects to the victims of Monday's terror attack before tonight's Europa League final. There'll be a minute's silence before the game with Ajax in Stockholm, and players will wear black armbands. Sam Allardyce says he has no ambitions to return to football management following his surprise resignation as Crystal Palace boss. He stepped down just 5 months after taking the job and saving the club from Premier League relegation. Former Sunderland midfielder Stefan Schwartz has thrown his hat into the ring to become the relegated Premier League club's new manager. He's not had a managerial job at a club before, but has been an assistant at Helsingborg and with Sweden's under-21 side. England's cricketers are just getting underway in the first one-day international against South Africa at Headingley. Owen Morgan's side are back at full strength, and Exeter's fullback Phil Dolman and Scarlet's flanker Aaron Shingler have been called into the Wales Rugby Union squad for next month's Pacific Islands tour. That's the latest sports news, powered by TalkSport.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Pat Abbott there with the pre-recorded sport. Next, we'll be talking, or very shortly, talking to Roger Donaldson, film director. He's made a new film about Bruce McLaren.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
To some, it was a miracle. Others called it the triumph of illiteracy. Radio. It revolutionized the way people learned about their world.
Oh my, get out of the way, please.
It changed forever the way people would be entertained.
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
On Talk Radio.
For those about to talk,
we salute you.
Play Misty for me.
So good afternoon then, and welcome if you're just joining us, you're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. Now, I just very quickly should take a moment to announce that we have raised the Morrissey idiocy level to critical this afternoon. Morrissey, of course, has been weighing into the whole terrorism debate with, even by Morrissey standards, some blithering nonsense. He's posted something about the Queen's Garden Party and I quote, an attack by extremist rabbits. So in consultation with the authorities, we have raised the Morrissey idiocy level to critical, which means that another half-drunk outpouring of thin rhetoric by the vegan arse is imminent. So obviously, if we get any more news of a Morrissey posting, we will bring you fair warning as the afternoon wears off.
John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
So good afternoon then, you are listening to Talk Radio. I said good afternoon and that's because it's the afternoon and I promised you hot guest action. Now, regular listeners will know that on this programme, it's all very well, you know, talking about films, isn't it? And interviewing the stars of the films, but regular listeners will know that we like to talk to the directors of films on this programme. And today is one of those occasions, I'm very pleased to say, and what a notable director he is. He directed No Way Out with Kevin Costner. He directed The Bounty with Mel Gibson and Dante Chase Peak, 13 days, world's fastest Indian, and now McLaren. Roger Donaldson, hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
Nice to be here, John.
It's great to have you in. I have to say. But let's before we talk about film in general and everything else with you. But McLaren, interesting because it's such a we know the name, we know the brand, we know the cars. We don't know much about the man.
Exactly, and I think that's why I was interested in making the film. It seemed like nobody knew why McLaren was called McLaren, and I remember actually seeing the guy drive, so I sort of had I did know who Bruce McLaren is, yeah, or was. So, I had a real interest in telling this
story. So you've had lifelong, but I mean, you're both from the same part of the world as well.
Yeah, when he came from New Zealand, I was born in Australia, but I moved to New Zealand when he was still driving, and in the 60s, I saw him drive in New Zealand as well.
Yeah, and were you a motorsport fan from a young age?
I'm still cursed with it. My wife, every time it's F1, I'm off,
Yeah, it's an expensive business, isn't it?
Expensive business. Yeah.
And why the story? Why tell the story now?
Well, it wasn't my idea to tell the story. A couple of young producers, inspired by the guy who actually distributes McLaren in New Zealand, who happened to be friends, and they were saying, everybody knows the name McLaren, but they don't know why it's called McLaren. And they suggested making this film, and they approached me, and I knew them from other projects. And I was just intrigued by the story, and I hadn't done a documentary for many, many years. It was about a New Zealand icon. I just felt like this is something that I could get under the skin of. It was a reason for me to spend some real time in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And yet it was an international story that I thought could travel. I thought there'd be real interest around the world in this story. It wouldn't just be all about New Zealand. And so that's why I made it.
I think what's interesting about these kind of films, because I'm not a motorsport fan, right? I've never been into it, or any sport, in fact. To look at me, Roger, you'd think I was the sportiest man.
I would have said you're all about sport.
But I'm not. But I watched Senna on the of a friend, with no real knowledge of him. Right. I got heard of him and everything else. Yep. And what a gripping film. And I watched this in the same way. And you sort of go, it transcends an interest in the subject, because it's about people.
That's really what I, as a filmmaker, I knew that, motorsport is fairly restricted in its, in its appeal to the public. But what I did think there was in this story was the story of an underlying, sort of human interest story. And the friends that he had and their sort of memories of their time with him and what they created together seemed like there was the potential to make a story that could travel and would appeal to men and women, and men and women who had no interest in motorsport would find something in it.
Yeah, and in terms of, for those that don't know, just a little bit of background, if you don't mind, just on who Bruce McLaren was and how important he is.
Well, Bruce McLaren started out in New Zealand as a young lad racing against Jack Brabham, an Aussie Formula One driver. And Jack Brabham inspired him to come across here to the UK, where he quickly became a real star as a driver. And he had these buddies that, back in New Zealand, motor mechanics that he was friends with, and he brought some of them with him. And together they started building their own cars, and they started building McLaren cars. They were racing in the United States as well as here in the UK. And together they built this, fledgling motor company with, half a dozen guys. They were all under the age of 30.
Yeah.
And then they got some, people on board, Robin Hood, who had been involved, and Gordon Kopik, who had been involved in the aerospace industry here, building the Concorde and stuff like that. And so they suddenly got this very experienced group of people together. And they started building cars and started to be very successful.
Yeah, and successful indeed he was, of course.
Hugely
influential.
And he had enormous respect from his peers as well. The motor racing world in those days was, fast and furious. It was dangerous. Everybody knew everybody else. I mean, one of the people that I interviewed was Jackie Stewart, who talked fondly about Bruce and the dangers of motorsport in that time, and how, the transition that happened between the beginnings of the 60s and the end of the 60s, when, motor racing started to get much safer, and But it was, you know, it was a dangerous, entertaining sport in the 60s.
And how did you put the film together? So obviously it's some talking heads, of course. There's a lot of archive in there, some bit of reconstruction. And what was your approach to when you sort of came, right, okay, it's got to be a documentary. How did you sort of approach
it? Well, one of the things that I had access to was, you know, these tapes that he had made when he was, you know, when he first came over here to the UK. He would make these tapes, him and his friends would make these tapes and send them back home to Bruce's father, who was, you know, wanted to know what was going on in the motor racing world, because that was why Bruce was so passionate about motor racing.
Yeah.
And these tapes were sort of, you know, some of them were fooling around, sort of goon stories and stuff like that. The goons, you know, some of them were that sort of crazy stuff.
I mean,
other stuff was, you know, describing the cars that he was trying to build, and he would send letters home and do drawings of them. And so it was this long-distance relationship with his family that really was the basis for where the film started to be, you know, have a centre, a core. And then I managed to find, you know, some very important people who were part of Bruce's life, you know, Colin Beanland and Phil Kerr and Chris Amon, a driver who he was friends with. Some of these key people that he'd been, you know, inspired him and helped him do what he did, and they were still alive, and so they were able to reminisce about, you know, their relationship with Bruce back in the 60s.
Did they take much persuading, or was it a case of, like, we're doing this?
I think some of them had never ever spoken about Bruce before, because they were some of those parts of the story that they didn't really want to revisit in their own minds, really.
Yeah.
But I managed to create a rapport with the drivers and the mechanics that I think shows in the way that they were prepared to reveal their true feelings about Bruce by the end of the film.
Yeah. And in terms of that archive, though, were you sort of given a big box of stuff to go through?
Well, I had a lot of help from Jan McLaren, Bruce's younger sister, and Amanda McLaren, Bruce's daughter. And so they just let me sort of rummage through this stuff and see what was there.
That must have been amazing, though, just to go through stuff that probably hadn't been seen.
No, I mean, there was some, you know, I mean, stuff that so personal, you know, sort of the telegrams from his wedding and stuff like that. That, you know, you really, I mean, in some ways, you know, I got so close to the character that it was quite moving in a way. You know, just to have this stuff in your hand. You know, the letters that he wrote home to his father, and there they are. That's it. That's the letter. You know.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how must feel when you.
And then some of the film, like the letters. You know, I discovered it. You know, nothing. No camera would sort of give me that feeling of what it was like to read the letter, and I discovered my iPhone. So I filmed it in 4K on my iPhone, just going over it like I was reading the letter. And that's it in the movie.
That brings me on to another subject, actually. Well, a similar subject, but in terms of how movies are made now, you know, because we were just talking there about The Bounty, you know, and stuff, which, you know, which an amazing film, which, you know, you remember Anthony Hopkins and all that. And you look back at that now, but film, I mean, that was, what, 1984 or something? Filmmaking so changed.
It's so changed.
And
for me, it's so liberating what the changes are. You know, when I made The Bounty, you know, the cameras were big and giant and Panavision cameras, and now you can get the same quality with a GoPro.
Yeah.
And, you know now you see images now that you could never have created then.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of how that was done, like, back then, so that was all sets, of course, back in those days.
Well,
wasn't
I mean, you know, we had the, out of Twickenham there, we had the interior of the Bounty on big giant, it was built around a central pole, like a maypole, you know, and it was up in, and we'd have like 100 guys around the set, and, you know, they'd slowly rocket, and so the storm sequences where everything's sliding across the table is actually a set with, you know, 100 guys outside just
moving it about,
running, you know, moving the set around.
Yeah, and does that happen so much anymore, though, now? Because I would yearn for that.
I know. Well, I sort of, as a filmmaker, yearn for those sort of days when the big stuff did happen. You know, now it's more, you know, I mean, a lot of the big stuff happens in the computer. You know, there's less and less of creating really, you know, that epic stuff that's real. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And in terms of filmmaking and how it's changed, I guess, because we have a lot more access to actors than we used to now as well. And I just wonder how, as a director, you have to be aware of that, because they come with so much. You know, it used to be that when I was a kid, you know, actors were sort of, Hollywood actors were sort of untouchable, up there, iconic. But now that every move's on social media and you know everything,
it sort of takes
the mystery out of it.
It's a bit like the world has become like that. You know, everybody's got their iPhones out, and everybody's taking selfies of each other, and there's, you know, any of these stars today, they've got their Twitter and you know, Instagram pages, and you sort of feel like you there isn't the mystery once that there was.
Yeah. Let's talk about Sir Roger Moore as well, of course. Now, we've been talking about him a lot on the show over the last couple of days because, you know, of his death announced on Tuesday. And for, he was my James Bond. I mean, yeah, it was, that was my era of when I first came to the Bond films. And, you know, Sean Connery was then the Bond that was on the Christmas Day repeats or whatever. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on Roger Moore as an actor.
Well, you know, Roger Moore, you know, I never met the guy. So, you know, my knowledge of him is not personal. But, you know, those movies are icons of, especially of the English film industry.
Mm.
And Pierce Brosnan is a good friend of mine, so, you know, I know...
You made Dante's Peak with
Pierce. Dante's Peak in November, man, I made with Pierce. So, and then I, at one stage, I was talking to them about the possibility of me doing one of them. It never happened, but, you know, so I got to meet the people. And
yeah. Which one?
Oh, God, I don't remember. No, I don't.
Was it a Roger Moore one, though? Was it that time? Or
no,
was
it was after that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. I'd quite like to see your James Bond film. I think that would be good. Don't rule it out. That could still happen.
No. You know, and if ever I get asked,
yeah, you'll be there. Consider this.
Yeah,
ask.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm in your corner.
Okay.
I'll be doing
I'm
it.
I'm up for the job.
Roger Donaldson is our guest this afternoon here on Talk Radio. Stay there, Roger. Do not move.
Okay, I won't
move. Going to be back to talk more film after the traffic and travel. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
All the latest election news as soon as it breaks on the station that's going to the country.
The British Open Democratic Process.
Talk Radio.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
The team at Stanton Fisher recently claimed back over £4,500 for me. This money was invaluable, as I'd been out of work for a little while, and it gave me some breathing space. I did very little, and I got some money back. It was awesome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
TradePoint, we offer bulk delivery from stock, from store to site. And if you order before 4 p.m, you'll get your order the next day. Plus, spend over £200 ex-VAT and your delivery will be free. TradePoint. Trade brands, trade prices, trade only. TradePoint!
Lotto's £24.5 million jackpot must be won this Wednesday, which for some lucky winners could make life pretty... Now, what's the word?
Fantastic.
No, not that.
Wonderful.
No.
Beautiful. It's true.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Anyone can win with Lotto. Please, don't let it be him. Estimated jackpot. Game rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
MyGuardMeter.com.
A new clutch? That's really gonna cost me.
Whatever your car needs, just type in a few details and approved local businesses will quote for your work. Then pick whichever's best for you. Just visit
mycarmeter.com. Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Traffic in and around the centre of Bath looking very slow moving. A number of roads near to Bath bus station were closed temporarily because of an incident which has now been resolved. The anti-clockwise M25 slow as you move towards junction 24 for Potter's Bar, where a lane's out for the recovery of a broken down lorry. Between Grantham and Stamford, the southbound A1 is very busy near Great Casterton. A lorry's broken down there as well. And after the attacks on Monday in Manchester, a number of city centre roads remain closed off. Victoria Station is closed as well. I'm Gerina Adams.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name!
Hey,
Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
In the greatest comeback since Bobby Ewing showed up in Pam's shower.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
The mighty James Whale is back.
You know the one.
The voice of reason returns to Talk Radio.
Unfiltered comment, scorched earth debate, and an ill-advised leather Stetson.
You making some kind of joke?
You look ridiculous. Take it off.
Get in the ring with the legendary James Whale.
Are you ready, man?
The dome-headed sage of speech radio returns to the airwaves for 3 hours of essential national night talk.
Cometh the hour, cometh the whale.
The James Whale Show, Monday night from 7.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Delaney, live at Drive. Get the full service and parts experience with essential debate, big name guests and a truckload of topical emissions.
Traffic stopping, drive time entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delicious, de-groovy, de-lovely, Delaney.
Stop. Look, listen to Sam Delaney.
Get involved.
Weekday afternoons from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lip. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Radio in the afternoons. Hello, I'm John Holmes, and well, Roger Donaldson's still with us. Hello, Roger.
Hi there.
And in terms of what you are doing next, as well, because you know, that's, I mean, as you said, you've done documentary, return to documentary.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to come next, but there's a few interesting things on the horizon. One of them is called the Guinea Pig Club, and it's about a plastic surgeon who came from New Zealand and worked here in the UK, and during the war he pioneered plastic surgery for burn victims, and mostly, you know, fighter pilots who were, you know, in planes that caught fire. And so it's this group of young guys, you know, who were down in East Grinstead at the hospital there, and he was performing plastic surgery on them. And it's a very emotional, touching story about, you know, war and recovery and, you know, what it takes to be disfigured and how you cope with that. And so it's an emotional story.
Do you approach scripts with an eye on the story first? Is that the most important thing?
Because I think I'm always looking for what's the hook of the story? You know, it's like a great song. You know, the hook of the song. What's the hook of this movie? What makes you want to go and see this movie?
Okay.
And, you know, for me, the hook of McLaren was that I was affected at the time by his death, and I knew the people who were part of that story would be also feel like I would feel only much more intense. And so I felt like there was going to be a core that I could hang this story on emotionally that would transcend motorsport and become just a great human interest story.
Yeah, which is at the heart of everything. Yeah. Of course. And it's interesting working with that. I mean, did you sort of, when you planned out McLaren, because it's a very different sort of film to the ones we've also been talking about, because it's not a script as such.
No.
So in terms of your model of what you've got to go on, is it a case of filming everything or getting the footage together and then structuring it in the edit?
Or? Yeah, I mean, listen, there's an enormous contribution from other people to this film. You know, the researchers, the editors, the, you know, just everybody. You know, I can't claim it's all mine. But what my contribution is, I think, is to, you know, get the emotional core of the story, you know, to get people to tell me face-to-face how they felt about Bruce.
Yeah, and was that a case of sitting down with them
Phil Kerr, you know, we spoke for like 2 or 3 days. So I think it was 3 days, you know, where he just, and I would, you know, I wanted to know everything, and he told me everything, you know, and so, you know, it was, so when he got to the, you know, the tragic part of the story, he was also, you know, felt secure enough that he could, and it was just the two of us, you know, I was behind the camera and nobody else was in the room, and so, you know, he was telling me the story like, you know, I was a friend of his.
Yeah.
And by that stage we were friends.
Yeah, which is the way, of course. Yeah. Absolutely. And do you now keep in touch with the people involved?
Well, unfortunately, Phil died not long after we finished shooting, you know, There was Chris Amon, who was a fantastic New Zealand Formula One driver who drove for McLaren and also drove for Ferrari, who died not long after we interviewed Phil and interviewed Chris. Chris, yeah. and Bruce won the Le Mans in 1966 driving the Ford GT40. And that's an important part of Bruce's story.
Yeah. So your timing here, actually.
I was. Bruce's wife died not long after we interviewed her.
Yeah.
You know, it was sad that some of these people didn't get to see the movie.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's testament to you, them, and of course, Bruce. I think that, you know, I think it's going to be huge because people's interest in this stuff and the way stories are told.
Yeah.
And I think the way, you know, that sort of paving of the way, I suppose, with the Senna and the Amy Winehouse film and all this kind of stuff.
That was a great movie, Amy Winehouse.
Yeah. You know, people have stories and they should be
told.
And
I also think these movies are sort of, you know, the genre of the documentary is gaining sort of popularity as the stories, you know, get... I think, once upon a time, a documentary was a much smaller enterprise. Yeah. And much more concerned with trying to sort of present something in a sort of glowing light. I mean, I remember one of the reasons I got into directing dramatic films was that I felt so frustrated. I was in Chile. I was going to do this Round Cape Horn documentary with a group of New Zealand sailors. And literally days before we were to go, there was the coup in Chile where Allende was overthrown and killed and Pinochet took over the government. And
yeah.
Here was this amazing real life story in front of me that I was part of, and you know, I literally got some young kids with guns held me up trying to arrest me and stuff like that, and here's me making this boy's own documentary about sailing around Cape Horn. That really, the two were so far apart, I was like, oh God, you know, I wish I was here doing, you know, like that Costa Gavras film Missing, you know, I wish I was doing something like that. And I went, so I gave up on documentaries and became, you know, directing feature films. But now I think There's a willingness and an interest in telling real life's gritty
there
stories.
There is. I think you're right. Yeah. And also, what I also like about it is the fact that they remain cinematic.
Yeah.
You know, we've been hearing a lot from Cannes about Netflix and whether or not that's legitimate and you know, in terms of their filmmaking, because it's for the small screen versus the big screen. And, you know, you had Will Smith and Pedro Almodovar talking about, you know, and arguing almost about whether or not both. But presumably, I mean, you'd think what? That both mediums are.
Well, the great thing about, you know, what's happening is, for as a filmmaker, your films, the television sets are getting better and better, the sound systems are getting better and better, the qualities of the cameras, the 4K cameras that, you know, you can go out and anybody can buy, and, you know, $4,000 you can buy yourself a setup and go and make a professional quality movie if you know how to use the equipment.
Mm.
There's, you know, now there's people making films that you would never have been able to do. Even the event of the GoPro, you know, images that, you know, you just didn't exist 10 years ago. So, you can get in amongst the real life stuff now and make, you know, some really, really... I mean, there was this TV series in America called Making a Murderer.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
I don't know if you watched any of it, but it was completely hypnotic television, you know.
Yeah, because it followed this real-life tale.
It was a real-life tale. And so television is getting a lot of traction that it used to not have, you know. And now, and the sort of, you know, once upon a time, television was in the hands of very conservative enterprises and you couldn't do anything that was offensive or, you know. But now, you know, you can, if you're subscribing to the channels, you can watch whatever you want to watch.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And some of the things you can see, you know, when I was a kid, video nasties were a thing.
Exactly.
And now, you know, I watch The Walking Dead and I go, this is far worse than any of that.
No, it's true, isn't it?
Well, I'm there.
Absolutely.
Anyway, listen, we're out of time, but thank you so much for coming
in. All right, John.
McLaren, directed by Roger Donaldson, our guest this afternoon. It's 25th of May, it's out. Blu-ray, DVD, digital platforms from Monday the 29th. That's the modern world, Roger, right there.
That's it.
Good. Listen, thanks very much indeed. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on your radio, the big beast of broadcasting is back.
Talk Radio has harpooned a whale. A great, big, stinking, smelly one.
The voice of reason returns to Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
The legendary James Whale is back.
Great whale tales from the blowhole of Baloney.
The James Whale Show, tonight from 7.
100% whale, 0% blubber.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. I am John Holmes. In the next half an hour of the programme, cometh the half an hour, cometh work experience review. Ellie is in. She's our work experience. She's going to be rounding up a week's worth of horrible, pointless hipster nonsense. We've got the big debate at three. All your reactions, of course, and our brand new game in the last half an hour of the programme, Snowflake Buckaroo. Yeah, that's right. I'll explain it later. Anyway, Talk Radio, Wednesday afternoon. Here's Victoria. She's got the latest news for you.
Talk Radio.
A block of flats in Manchester is being searched by armed police in connection with Monday night's terror attack at the city's arena. Officers are also questioning four people after making three arrests overnight. As the UK's terror threat level is raised, we're being told to expect almost 1,000 troops on the streets. The French Interior Minister says the bomber, Salman Abidi, is believed to have travelled to Syria and had links with the Islamic State group. Here's Home Secretary Amber Rudd.
We do know that he was known up to a point to the intelligence services. What I would point out is that our intelligence services do a remarkably good job. We need to give them the space they need to continue their investigation.
The Times is reporting that Abidi had recently returned home from Libya as recently as in the last week. The paper's chief reporter, Sean O'Neill, has told Talk Radio the country has a problem with terrorist groups.
There are jihadist groups controlling large swathes of territory. ISIS has a foothold there. Al-Qaeda has quite a strong presence there. And it's a very dangerous and tumultuous place at the moment.
The 22 people who were killed at the Ariana Grande concert have all been identified. They include a 14-year-old girl, while a 20-year-old has lost both her parents in the attack. 20 people are still in a critical condition in hospital. And elsewhere, a lorry driver has been arrested after five people died in a crash on the M6 in Staffordshire. One other person is in a serious condition. The weather: rain in the far northwest of Scotland, dry elsewhere with some warm sunny spells, highs of 26 degrees. It's more in half an hour.
Thank you very much, Victoria, there. She had the news, in case that wasn't obvious, but it was, because she had the news. In the next bit then, Ellie's here. She will be reviewing hipster nonsense. We invite our work experiences into the studio. We don't leave them languishing in the office, just being bullied by Julia Hartley Brewer and doing some photocopying. No, no, we bring them in here and give them real world work experience. Ellie's with us next on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Delaney, live at Drive. Get the full service and parts experience with essential debate, big name guests and a truckload of topical emissions.
Traffic stopping, drive time entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delicious, de-groovy, de-lovely, Delaney.
Stop. Look, listen to Sam Delaney.
Get involved.
Weekday afternoons from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, also in the news today, by the way, six UK music festivals are allowing drug testing. That's including Reading and Leeds. So the idea for this, I don't know whether you've read it, is that you can take your illegal drugs. I mean, they're not condoning the taking of illegal drugs, but they're saying if you are bringing them to a festival, right, then you can hand them in, just one of your stash, to get tested, to make sure it's not going to kill you. That's the gist of it, isn't it? Mm. Which is quite revolutionary. I mean, it's sort of saying, we know people bring it, so let's do it as safely as we possibly can, which I think is quite, quite interesting. Mm. Did I mention, you know, I was ill?
You did mention that, yes.
Hold on, I've got to still got to.
Yeah, you've mentioned
residual cough.
With a cough,
I was ill, Ellie.
Were you?
Yes, I was off a bit last week because I wasn't well. Not 100% now, I had these tablets, right, they gave me, and then they didn't do much. Sort of penicillin, that kind of, you know, antibiotics. And then, in fact, there was a message on my answer phone when I got home on Friday, saying from the doctor, saying, your blood tests have come back. Can you call me urgently? That's not a message you want, is it?
That's not something to leave on a voicemail either.
No, that's what I thought.
Just call them again.
So, and he said, so what I've done, he said, call me. He said, but if you don't get back in office hours, what I've done is I've written, there's a new prescription. You need to go to the chemist where I've left you some more medicine. So I went to the chemist, I got the medicine, and there are pills the size of cats. Okay.
That's not an exaggeration at all. They are the size of cats, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I have to eat these pills two a day. But when I looked at the instructions, which was a long scroll of side effects and goodness knows what else. The first thing it said was, this medicine is for people, and I'm not joking, this medicine is for people who have been exposed to anthrax or the plague.
Well, I'm glad
I didn't even know the plague was still a thing.
I'm glad that I'm a full metre away from you.
Won't save you.
Well, what I want to know is how you got your cat pills in through the studio door.
Yeah. Well, this is the size of a cat and that's the size of a door. I mean, it's easy. Anyway, I'm just showing
you.
But anyway,
it's been a long day.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, they're mixing up your old cat and door ratios again. God, so Ellie.
Well, I was thinking like a really big cat, like a tiger.
Well,
couldn't get a tiger through a door, could you?
Yes.
Not. No, you could scratch
you. A tiger could get through a door. Anyway,
lure it through with the meat.
Yeah.
Just use Cornelius
as bait.
Yeah.
Well, it does work.
Your mum used to get a tiger tongue.
Shut up.
All right, fine. Anyway, so we thought we'd do today's text in, you see, because of the drug testing at the festivals.
Yeah.
Drugs and music.
Right.
So that's what we're going to open up if you want to get involved with that. It's poor quality puns, of course it is. 87222.
Start your message with the word
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Spliff Richard. See?
Yeah, like, easy.
It's that. It's just that.
You know? I can't think of anything.
No. Have you got one, Cornelius?
Probably. KD Chang.
KD, yes. Take smack. See, you can do...
That's not an endorsement.
No, it isn't. It's a poor quality pun, just to be clear. Anyway, so we'll throw that up now. 8722.
Start your message with the word
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
So Ellie's here then. And the reason she's here is because she's one of our work experience is. And as I say, what we've done is we've dragged her out of the office where she was busy photocopying a cup of tea or something. And we have put her in front of the microphone, which is what we do with our work experience, is giving them real-world proper media training. That's what we tell them. The real reason is that it's their work experience, so we don't have to pay them. We do music, we do film, we do geeky, gadgety stuff. We do television. On a Wednesday, we do hipster nonsense. You know the kind of thing that pops up? That sort of hipstery pop-up cafe-style rubbish that is in a disused railway arch in the east end of cities. That kind of thing where people with beards go and pick cereal off each other. So, look, there's a new one opened up where you can feed an avocado to an owl and then you sit around having a flat black. That's a new thing. And you wait for the owl to poo the avocado onto some toast, some sourdough.
That's exactly what I've got written
sourdough
down.
Sourdough toast. And then you sit there and you eat the... it's called Owlicado, that restaurant.
There we go. Did you know? You've been stealing my notes again, haven't
I'm just
you?
In with the hipster vibe, Ellie. That's it. What horrors have you got?
Rainbow croissants.
Oh, Christ.
Yep.
Go on,
so, the pastry chef, Sarah Barber, at the five-star Cafe Royale Hotel in Piccadilly, has come up with putting food dye in pastry and then selling it for £3.50 a pop. So, how much would you pay for a normal croissant?
Well, I don't like croissants.
Why? They're the best.
They are flaky, boring, breaded objects, and I have no truck with them. I have no truck. They are the boring of the continental breakfast. They are the arse end of it. I would always go for maybe the ham, the egg.
What about a ham and cheese croissant?
No, the croissant part gets. I don't like a croissant. Cornelius, where do you stand on a croissant?
Yeah, they're all right. I think disappointing if you go to a hotel and it's continental. Yes. You're just like, oh, no. But yeah, like just sort of 12, as a normal breakfast.
12 quid, that'll be, or something, in a hotel.
Not if it's included.
Yeah, but that's in a hotel.
Yeah. I don't want croissant.
But would it change your mind if you got there and there were rainbow ones?
No, if anything... To be honest, food colouring and stuff like that tends to put me off food a bit. Like, if a food is brightly coloured for fun, that makes me feel a bit ill.
Sort of forced.
I wouldn't want to eat that.
Forced fun food.
Yeah.
The Instagram's pretty, but, you know...
Oh, well, I might as well get eight then.
Yeah, well, how much will that cost you?
The fact that it's even got its own Instagram is just irritating.
Well, the patisserie woman's got her own Instagram,
and it's
like her stuff.
So is the croissant... Because if I poured food colouring... excuse me, into a croissant, it would just be a mess. Whereas as she layered it, what's the style of the?
So it looks kind of like, you know, those like sweets you used to get in the like penny sweets. They used to be like a strip of like rainbow,
right?
The pastry looks like that. So it's like layered, like a LGBT flag and then, like, right, folded up on itself.
Has it been adopted by that community?
I hope so, but not for £3.50.
As a flag? Because there's no reason why, actually, that's not a bad idea on something like a Pride march, is it?
Yeah.
Because marching for Pride and other things is a tiring, hungry business.
Also,
so if you've got yourself a flag made out of a rainbow croissant, you could just eat that on the way around.
Also, like, I love everyone loves pastry. I bet the gay community love pastry just as much, if not more, than the French.
I mean, I don't know what evidence you've got for that, but, you know, let's throw that open. I don't know. Are you gay? Do you love pastry more than the French? 8722.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
Why not? But it's an interesting... Well, you know, it's trying hard for trying hard's sake, I think, with this food, this hipster food revolution.
Well, it comes after rainbow bagels, which look terrible.
Rables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the same...
It sounds like Ed Ball's brother.
It does. I didn't know about those either, but I can guess.
They're available on, where is it? Shoreditch? No.
Somewhere in Shoreditch. God, is it the 24-hour Brick Lane?
That's it, Brick Lane, the bagel shop there, yeah.
God. But I imagine bagel shops are up and down this fair land now as a hipster thing.
I think the one on Brick Lane is famous for its rainbow bagels, though.
Is it?
I go past three on my way. I live in the East End and I go past three on my way to the Tube, so...
Does it taste of anything?
Rainbow.
Yeah,
it tastes like unicorns.
Water vapor.
Yeah. So does it? But I mean, is it flavored or just?
Probably not.
These croissants are. They're mango, passion fruit, cherry, and pistachio. So like yellow. What colours are passion fruit? Something.
Orangey.
Yeah. Cherry's red.
Well,
pistachios
done.
Are green.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glad I could share my knowledge with you there.
Great. Hold that thought, because we've got to go to Traffic and Travel.
Okay.
Which we put food colouring on to make it like rainbow traffic and travel. It happened.
Rainbow Road.
Right. tease us, if you would, with what hateful stuff you've got next.
Grown-up dinosaur sleepovers and rebel bingo.
Right, so that's coming. Talk Radio in the Afternoons. We are rounding up some hipster nonsense with Ellie. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
You know the saying, blink and you'll miss it? Well, you could use it for TalkTalk's Fibre Flash sale. Because for a very short time, you can get TalkTalk Fibre, which is four times faster than standard ADSL broadband, for just £25 a month, including line rental, for 2 whole years. It's Britain's lowest priced fibre compared to Sky, BT and Virgin over 24 months, saving you up to £535 versus BT. But hurry, the flash sale ends June the 1st. Search TalkTalk Fibre and join now. TalkTalk. For everyone.
Comparison with BT excludes voucher and is based on TalkTalk's faster up to 38 meg and BT's Infinity One up to 52 meg packages. Contract and conditions apply.
Score yourself a winner with The Sun. Join me, The Sun's chief football reporter, Neil Ashton, for all the latest stats, chats and spats. Our coverage is more pep than Guardiola, tackles opponents tougher than Terry and scores more winners than our mates Zlatan. Plus, don't miss your number one football pullout. It's goals every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday. Go on, pick up The Sun today for just 50p.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the train go.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade quality building products. In May, we've got 125 by 18 millimetre solid oak rustic lacquered flooring for only £20.95 ex-VAT per square metre. Now that's a real deal. See selcobw.com for even more real deals and to find your nearest branch.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the train go.
Lotto's £24.5 million jackpot must be won this Wednesday, which for some lucky winners could make life pretty... Now, what's the word?
Fantastic.
No, not that.
Wonderful.
No.
Beautiful. It's true.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Anyone can win with Lotto. Please, don't let it be him. Estimated jackpot. Game rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Without preparation, there is no performance.
Well, here we go.
Without support, there is no strength.
Sensational power there.
And without battle,
ooh, that's a big hit.
There is no victory.
And he's over in the corner.
The Aviva Premiership Rugby Final, Saturday the 27th of May, Twickenham. Glory awaits. Be there. PremiershipRugby.com/final.
Talk Radio, Traffic and Travel.
No change in Keighley for the northbound A629. It remains closed after a serious accident around the Hardings Road. A number of local routes in the centre of Manchester remain closed after Monday's attack. Victoria Station is closed as well. There's queues into Stamford in along the A1. A lorry's broken down around the Great North Road junction. And after a breakdown on the anti-clockwise M25, there's still some very busy traffic as you move towards junction 24 for Potter's Bar. I'm Jarena Adams.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money's Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money's Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money's Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley-Brewer. Join the Titanium Lady of Talk Radio for 3 hours of provocative discussion, intelligent analysis and fearless comments.
Mid-mornings with me, Julia Hartley-Brewer. Your one-stop shop for debate about the stories that everyone's talking about. No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Get both barrels from Judge Jules.
Julia Hartley-Brewer, tomorrow morning from 10.
On your all-new speech station, Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Now, of course, we've been discussing the news on the programme very much today. We know there's a lot of news around. You know, it constantly breaks, doesn't it? It constantly rolls and it constantly breaks. But that doesn't make it any fewer complicated, does it, Cornelius? It's very complicated.
No, I can't get my head around it.
No, the news, and there's a lot of it. Various different subjects, of course, on today's news agenda, but we like to help because we know that it's complex. So what we do is we take the news and we expose it in a way, like a sort of current affairs flasher in a park, to oriental short form verse. And by doing that, we make it easy to understand because it's five syllables, seven syllables and five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Roger Moore, remember the great man by raising an eyebrow to him.
The news in haiku. So good afternoon, Talk Radio on a Wednesday. I'm John Holmes, hello. And you find us midst hipster nonsense. It's our work experience punditry. It's where our work experience comes in here and reviews stuff. Because work experience people are free and we don't have to pay them. Today we are doing hipster nonsense. We've already talked rainbow croissant, which is a hateful idea of just pouring some food colouring into some pastry and making a croissant out of it. Where are we going next, Ellie?
We are going to Rebel Bingo. Rebel Bingo.
Is this something that you know, insurgents in, I don't know, Syria are playing? Rebels out there? No?
I think they've got better things to do.
All right. What rebels are we talking about?
People, you know how there's a lot of, like, generational animosity. People, like, young people don't like old people don't like young people. Absolutely. So they decided to take over their bingo halls because, you know, they can't afford houses.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
So they were like, oh, we'll just pitch up in a bingo hall instead. And it's basically like pink bingo but clubbing. So, like,
well, that's not going to please the old ladies and old gentlemen who are playing the bingo, is it?
Well, no, that's why they kind of, it's like a rolling event, so it'll go all around the country to, like, different bingo halls. So they do it in Camden in London, and then I think they've done it in New York, they've done it in LA, they've done it in Las Vegas, which was weird, apparently. Can't imagine why. And yeah, so, like, basically they just get Bless you.
Thank you. I just sneezed there.
Yeah, like it's also the advertising is really aggressive. So they're like, haters gonna hate. And you're like, it's bingo, mate. Like, calm down.
So hang on. Is the bingo going on while the millennials just rush in? Or do they hire the hall?
I mean, they hire the hall.
Right,
they
so
have
it's not
an
like
event.
A sort of, it's not like a sort of a millennial coup where they just run in and go, no, sweeping the...
No, they have an agreement with
bingo.
Mecca.
Fine.
Yeah. No, so basically, like, the people who organise it, they set it all up and then everyone gets really drunk. And then, like, it's kind of like, you know, boxing, they've got, like, ladies that go around with, like, the round signs.
Hang on, millennials won't like that. That's sexist.
Yeah, but, you know, they'll forgive it if it's, like, reclaiming it, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Something. And you can get a bonus, you know, like huge novelty checks of £100.
Right.
That's the maximum
price. I think I've been to this.
What are you talking about?
I think I've been to this sort of event.
You've just been staring at a watch who's explaining it for 5 minutes. And then you've suddenly gone,
I'll tell you for why.
Yeah.
I think they hosted it one of the stages at Latitude Festival quite a few years ago when I went, but very late in the evening.
This is why you only half
early
remember.
In the morning.
Yeah, but I remember being at a disco sort of dancing thing, and there was some sort of element of bingo.
Wait, I was at that. No, I can't remember.
What a great anecdote you two have provided there. So you went to Latitude, and in the middle of the night, there was a disco bingo thing that you only half remember.
In the Woods stage.
Yeah.
There's definitely, I think every time they pulled out something, you had to do, it would be like different dances.
Yeah, so like every number had a different dance or something
like
that.
And then you had to do the dance if they pulled out your number. I think they may have given you a card. I cannot remember.
Sounds awful.
He's got a 1,000-yard stare.
Sounds awful, the whole thing. But, you know, look, it's old people's business. Don't go and... Millennials, go and do what you do.
Yeah, but they love reclaiming old people stuff, like knitting. Like, they did, like, knitting. Yeah. They'd go around and, like, randomly put knitting on...
They're putting old people out of work here.
Rave knitting.
This is not, you know, millennials coming over here taking their pastimes.
I think bingo needs to be reinvented, because it is a fun game, but... We can't go, like, just normal bingo, you can't go because it's done in the most dull and dreary way.
It's
like when
serious.
You go on holiday, that's fun bingo.
What do you mean?
But, like
bingo
when you go...
Bingo in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, like, it's the evening entertainment sometimes at the hotel
bar, isn't it?
What
holiday do you go on?
This is years ago as well, I can't remember.
Yeah, great, yeah, brilliant.
But,
yeah.
No, that was just a more standard bingo. I think a transvestite was hosting it.
Right.
But that was quite fun. Bingo is definitely fun.
It can be fun.
Yeah, it's just actual
Especially
bingo halls nowadays are just really dreary, dull places.
I've never been in a bingo hall. Because, I mean, what is bingo? You've got a grid of numbers.
And then people call out numbers.
And
if
someone at the
grid,
front goes, oh, clickety-click.
56.
66.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I've never been to bingo either.
And then you go, oh, and you put your line through it.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, I don't know. Two fat ladies, and then that's going to trigger off a millennial safe space warning or something because you can't say that anymore. So they probably actually, if millennials have got their own like words,
bingo calls,
yeah,
I think they're quite rude. The ones at Rebel Bingo,
are they?
Yes.
Right. Let's not say them now. Then.
No, I wasn't going to.
Okay. Good.
Number of genders 13.
There's a
stuff
lot
like
there's,
that.
There's more than that.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so that's about it for Rebel Bingo, I think.
Right, all right, Rebel Bingo. All right, good. Right, what now?
Dinosaur sleepovers for grown-ups.
Go on.
Contain yourself. Like, you're already Googling it, aren't you?
No.
Ready to go.
Go on.
So, basically, they're called dinosnores.
Oh, fuck.
That's brilliant.
They also do them for kids. So, so the Natural History Museum in London wants, I think the next one's on the 5th of August, is £180 for a single-person adult ticket. That's quite a lot of money, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Then again, the museum is free, so...
Do you go and just lie down? It's like a night at the museum, is it?
Yeah. You get to sleep under
exactly
the blue whale.
Like a night at the museum, the film, where all the things
not.
Come alive.
That's worth 180 quid.
Yeah, defo. I'd watch that.
Yeah. But you wouldn't want to be under the blue whale when it came alive. You'd be under big trouble then.
Why?
because they're big and it might fall.
Yeah, but they're out of water as well. Yeah.
Probably.
So it would die. So.
Yeah, depends how many, again. How much it yeah. wakes up.
I've been snorkeling with blue whales.
Cool.
Yeah, and they are big. Ellie, let me tell you that.
Did they make you look especially small?
All right. Yes. I did. And I was actually going to swim with sperm whales.
Right.
And that's not a science thing. It wasn't actual sperm. What do you say?
Did you misunderstand the trip?
Yeah, good. But then while I was there, this is off the coast of Sri Lanka, blue whales came in to where I was. You're only allowed two people in the water at once and all this kind of stuff. And the noise of the clicking as it tries to work out what you are. And this thing, huge submarine-sized blue whale, just came at me out of the blue and close enough to touch. I mean, it was vast.
Did it know?
Vast it was.
Oh, wow.
Huge. And so I would sleep under one, yes. It was a gentle soul.
I would be terrified if an animal that big... I mean, it is the biggest.
It is the biggest. And it was big, let me tell you.
Really
that.
Big.
Yeah. And I followed it as best I could. And then by the time it went down into the deep, I then sort of put my head up, looked round and realised I was 20 miles from land, 3,000 metres straight down, and couldn't find the boat. So that was fun. But, you know, eventually the boat found me. So.
Swings and roundabouts,
isn't it, though? But I saw a whale, so it was amazing.
It's weird how the whales sort of click and try and work out who you are. Is it like the Jets in West Side Story? Because they come in clicking and going, are you a Jet?
It's like bats.
Is it like that?
It's not as rhythmic.
No?
With the whales. And the whales aren't armed with flick knives either.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
Sure.
But I see your point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's sonar, isn't it? It's just detecting your shape and what you are and how much of a threat you aren't, which I wasn't, of course. I'm basically plankton. So, all right, so you can go and stay under a blue whale in a museum.
And you can even get a dinosaur onesie for the occasion for £35. Or a kitsch jumper for £50.
What's on it? Just a dinosaur?
Dinosaurs. Nice dinosaur pattern.
Can I bring my own dinosaur onesie?
Is this one you've made?
You'd have to ask the museum.
Okay, well, I'll bring them.
I don't know why I'm not surprised that you've got a dinosaur onesie. It's the sort of thing you would have.
I've got a giraffe one.
What?
I am a millennial. Leave me be.
You are, you bloody
I woman. Don't, but I've definitely performed the striptease from a dinosaur onesie once.
Right, hang on. Stop everything. What? You've performed a striptease out of a dinosaur onesie, Cornelius.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Was it your mum's birthday or something?
No.
Such a cheeky look on your face.
As well as at university, one of my friend's housemates, who I didn't really know very well, was on Skype to their mum, I think, and he went, I dare you to put this on and then go and dance behind her and then slowly take it off. And I did exactly that like a hero.
That's... Oh.
I mean, there are no words. So somewhere a mum is traumatised... Seeing little Cornelius dangling out of a...
I think I wore boxer shorts. I didn't go... Because I think it's a bit illegal otherwise.
I could have said that's...
Did you just assault somebody's mum?
No, I didn't, because I was wearing boxer shorts.
Right.
Is that what the line is? Boxer shorts.
Right.
I reckon, yeah.
Poor mother.
Anyway, let's draw a veil over all of that.
Okay.
Because now we can't unsee it.
No.
In our mind's eye. Ellie, thank you for coming in. Sorry you had to be exposed to that.
No worries. I hope I'm not... No, I'm just not going to finish that sentence.
No, good. It's your fault anyway. You started all this. With you.
Every time.
Talk
it's always Cornelius.
I know.
It's never me.
Anyway, in the next bit of the programme, there will be the big debate at 3. All your reactions, of course. We will be going around the country as part of our election spotlight series. Our political editor... And dinosaur stripper, Cornelius.
Hello.
Hello. Where are we going today?
A part of Plymouth.
Plymouth, a constituency in Plymouth. Spotlight on a bit of Plymouth for you as we continue our election coverage, of course. And don't forget our game in the last half an hour, Snowflake Buckaroo. Yeah, that's right, Ellie.
It's got millennials involved.
It certainly bloody has. Snowflake Buckaroo, it's our brand new game. It won't work. I mean, we haven't really thought it through. But anyway, we'll be doing it in the next hour. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Election 2017.
Join the conversation party.
Yes, of course, at once.
Talk Radio.
The Europa League final, live tonight from 7 on Talk Sport. Manchester United have the Champions League in their grasp as they face Ajax in Stockholm.
Rashford, decent ball to the far side, Fellaini! Manchester United, a big goal!
Full uninterrupted commentary from kickoff at 7.45. The Europa League final, live tonight from 7 on DAB Digital Radio, online and on 1089 and 1053 AM. Talk Sport.
There's too much pressure in our lives these days. Like making sure your phone doesn't run out of battery. Ah, I'm at 3%. So when it comes to selling your car, try WeBuyAnyCar.com. Our branch staff are there to make life easy. There's no pressure. You can choose to sell or not to sell. Could someone charge me up quick? To sell your car quickly and easily, enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
As a business looking to hire, where do you look for greatness? Just because you've no time, should you have to settle for the best of a limited choice? With more candidates looking for their next job than any other job site, Indeed.com is where your search for greatness begins and ends. Post your job on the UK's number one job site and start your search for greatness today on Indeed.com. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com, according to Comscore.
So what do you think of my six-pack, Brian?
Oh, you never could count.
These abs, they're just like a washboard. Go on, give him a dig.
Well, only if you're sure, Neil.
You won't get good odds on what happens next. But for great in-play prices on the footy, get yourself to 10bet.co.uk and score a first deposit bonus of up to £200.
Oh, those aren't my abs, Brian.
Really?
When it's time to bet, it's time to 10bet.
Minimum deposit £15. Deposit must be staked in full to qualify. Five rollovers of deposit and bonus required. Single bets and ACCAs only. Please bet responsibly.
Let's not wait any longer. The Wix 50% off kitchen unit showroom sale is now on. Plus, there's up to 3 years interest-free credit on qualifying showroom kitchen purchases. Offers end 29th of May. Wix, let's do it right. Credit subject to status. 0% APR representative deposit required. Conditions and exclusions apply. See wix.co.uk. Wix acts as a credit broker and offers credit provided exclusively by Hitachi Capital UK PLC. Each authorised and regulated by the FCA.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
At just after 3 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. It is Talk Radio. Here's Victoria with the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, more arrests over the Manchester bombing. An off-duty police officer was killed and an attacker travelled to Syria and Libya.
Talk Radio.
A total of 4 men are being held in connection with Monday's Manchester terror attack, which killed 22 people. Investigators are trying to find out if the bomber was working alone. A block of flats in the city centre is being searched by armed police, while there have also been raids in the south of the city. Neighbours have told Talk Radio they're in disbelief.
Shocked, isn't it? I mean, I've just looked now and they're raiding another house. The bang yesterday, that was a bit frightening.
Find out that someone that's major terror attack live around the corner from you, just madness. Really is, I can't believe it.
We realised later on that the person lived there, that killed all them kids. I couldn't believe it. But I didn't know them, I've never seen that family.
Troops are already patrolling the streets of London after the threat level was raised to critical last night, indicating a further attack may be imminent. The attacker, Salman Abidi, is believed to have travelled to Syria and Libya. Retired army officer Colonel Richard Kemp used to sit on Cobra committee hearings. He's told Talk Radio people who've gone abroad for the Islamic State group are often welcomed back to the UK.
We think we're then going to convert them from being an extremist who will go out and rape, murder and torture to being a good British citizen, which generally speaking is not the case. But of course we can't stop everybody who's been out fighting from coming back. That's, you know, we don't have that coverage, but we do have a lot of intelligence on these people.
An off-duty police officer is among the 22 people who were killed, while York College has promised to support one of their students who lost both her parents in the attack at an Ariana Grande concert in the city's arena. Russell Brand has also donated the proceeds of one of his stand-up gigs to victims. And in other news, police are questioning a lorry driver who was arrested after a crash that's left 5 people dead and another in hospital. They were in a car on the M6 near Stoke when it happened early this morning.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Rain in the far northwest of Scotland, drier elsewhere. Feeling very warm with sunny spells and highs of 26 degrees.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Victoria there with the news, of course. And now here's Pete Abbott. Pete Abbott with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Pete Abbott. Manchester United's Europa League final tonight will have extra significance following Monday's terror attack in the city. They're in Stockholm to face Dutch side Ajax. The winners will not only claim the trophy but also qualify for the Champions League. Sam Allardyce appears to have effectively retired from football management after his surprise departure from Crystal Palace. He says he has no ambitions to take another job following his resignation. Arsenal defender Gabriel's out of Saturday's FA Cup final against Chelsea, adding to Arsene Wenger's shortage at centre-back. A knee injury has ruled him out for up to 2 months. Lorica Shelny is already missing through suspension. Newcastle have turned Christian Atsu's loan from Chelsea into a permanent deal. The Ghana winger has signed a 4-year contract. And title favourite Simona Halep could miss the French Open tennis after a scan revealed ankle ligament damage. The Romanian world number 4 suffered the injury in the final of the tournament in Rome last weekend. That's the latest sports news, powered by TalkSport.
Thank you very much indeed. Pete Abbott there with his pre-recorded sport. Right, still to come, big debate on the way, of course. And don't forget our brand new game, Snowflake Buckaroo, before 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
To some, it was a miracle. Others called it the triumph of illiteracy. Radio, it revolutionized the way people learned about their world.
Oh my, get out of the way, please.
It changed forever the way people would be entertained.
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
On Talk Radio.
For those about to talk,
we salute you.
Play Misty for
me. 3:05, good afternoon, hello. Now, we should just take this moment to announce that we have raised the Morrissey idiocy level to critical. If you've been listening this afternoon, you'll know that's happened. Morrissey, of course, has been weighing into the terrorism debate with, by Morrissey standards, some blithering nonsense. He's posted something about the Queen's garden party and I quote, an attack by extremist rabbits. On his Facebook page. So in consultation with the authorities, we have raised the Morrissey idiocy level to critical, which means that another half-drunk outpouring of thin rhetoric by the vegan arse is imminent. So obviously, if we get any news of that, then we will just bring you fair warning. The Morrissey level at critical.
John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
It's time for the big debate. So in other news then today, Donald Trump, you'll remember him from the news a while ago, I'm sure, is visiting the Pope. It's his first foreign tour. He's travelled many miles. Lots to talk about with the Pope, I imagine. They have things in common, of course. Donald Trump and the Pope, the Catholic Church, responsible for covering up child abuse by priests. Trump responsible for covering up his ties to the Russians. So plenty of covering up chat in common they've got. We're getting word, though, that the meeting went well, with Donald Trump saying that he wants to borrow the Pope's election techniques when it comes to appointing a new director of the FBI after he sacked that last one. Donald Trump, we understand from the news this afternoon, he's going to have a special fireplace with a chimney installed in the Oval Office, and then when Trump appoints a new director, one who promises not to investigate him, the world will know it's happened due to white smoke coming out of the White House chimney. Importantly, it will be smoke from the burning of any incriminating document. If there's also the smell of prostitutes wee in the air, we can safely assume that Donald is also burning a mattress. Now, on the line listening to the radio this afternoon, down the telephone at the moment, is Hamish. Good afternoon, Hamish.
Good afternoon, John. Great to be on.
Yeah, great to have you on. So, Hamish, you heard me say the word miles in that there a while ago, almost like the second sentence, which prompted you to dial, I know, pick up the phone, call Talk Radio
3444 1000.
What's your problem with miles? They just get in the way, you told our researchers. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, my real problem with them is I have to say anything to them to get on the air. Now I can say what I really think.
Yeah.
My problem is the proliferation of miles. You used to only have good English miles, and now you've got Irish miles, Ottoman miles, and even Scottish ones. And in fairness, the Scottish ones are pretty much the same except they're just chip shops back to back.
Right.
But now you even have a nautical mile, which is spattered with semen or having a shanty.
Yes.
I just think it's wrong. I think anyone listening to that would think that sounds wrong.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right in saying that a mile, while used as a unit of measurement, of course, it's not... It does change the nautical mile, as you mentioned, with the seamen, the sailors. Of course, we'll have a different mile to those landlubbers amongst us. Let me bring in Jamie. Oh, good afternoon, Jamie.
Good afternoon,
Jamie. Right, so you've heard what Hamish has got to say there. Let me put this to you though. If we get rid of miles, which is what Hamish is saying, is he right, Jamie? Though, because that would it not cut down travel time? Things would be closer together. Things wouldn't be miles apart anymore. They'd just be next to each other, and therefore you'd cut down on all that pollution, wouldn't you? Of travelling, you could just go to the place next door.
Yeah, but life's about the journey, isn't it? I mean, like, if you remove miles, you remove your journey, and then what lessons do we learn? I think it's taking away a fundamental part of ourselves, John.
Right. Well,
I think the jury's still out on whether life's about the journey or not.
Yeah, I mean, Hamish, is life's not about the journey for you, I'm imagining. Life's just about being there, is it?
Yeah, it's just about existing, really, just getting through the day.
Yeah.
I also have a problem. I despise all kinds of miles, if I may.
You may.
Okay, I'll just do that now.
Right.
Okay.
Do you want to take any longer?
Let me make a point.
Do you want to despise them for any longer? Just take your time.
Well, no, I'm done.
All right.
I'll just make this point. Miles Davis, he was a disgrace in my book. We all know, obviously, Davis, he was a Welshman. And rather than go into a good Welsh profession like mining or joining a male choir, he became a jazz legend and shamed his whole family.
Yeah.
And it's just the kind of typical attitude you get from these kind of Miles enthusiasts.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, you are a Miles enthusiast. I mean, come back on that. I mean, Miles Davis giving a bad name to people, to the Welsh.
Well, I mean, I am a Miles enthusiast, actually, because I think, you know, I think you can. When you exercise, when you go for a run, you go for a 10-mile run.
10 miles.
You know, that's a healthy thing to do.
Yeah.
If you make a journey, you go for miles and miles. You walk. You know, like the Proclaimers song. You walk 500 miles to find the one you love.
Yeah.
And if you're depriving yourself that element, no matter what miles you have, I do understand that it is a gentle despising of all miles. But I'm just going to take a minute just to appreciate the miles I've gone down.
But in terms of the Proclaimers, and let's bring those into the argument because they are a proponent for the mile lobby, of course, as we know, and their number was 500. They've put a number on miles. At least they put their money where their specky mouths are. Jamie, could you put a number on miles? How many miles? Put a number on miles, Jamie.
I think
probably
he's
inspiring
them against that. What he's going to say?
Well, no, let me. This is important.
He asked you, Jamie, not me.
Jamie, put a number on miles.
Oh, 10,000.
Right. Well, you see, that's not what's happened. That's not what I've got written here. I've got 15 written here, and that's the official figure.
Yeah.
So you've gone all a bit Diane Abbott there, to be honest with you. I mean, Hamish.
That's the problem. They're all big boasters. We know Miles Gloriosus was a stock character in Roman drama. You'll know that, John.
Yeah, I'm well aware of it.
Boastful soldier. He'd often stand at the Gloriosus hole and let his little soldier speak for itself.
Yeah.
And Miles, the point is that he was big into exaggeration because miles are ostentatious. They're blackguards and they just can't help themselves but boast. That's why they have to be longer than kilometres, which we know anyone who voted Remain, the good people of this country, Remain enthusiasts, we're not that insecure. We can just have our little units, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, if that makes any sense.
It doesn't at all. You're tough on miles, tough on the causes of miles, but what is the cause of miles? It's
space,
exactly, between things. So Jamie, much as you say it's all very well going for a 10-mile run or walk 500 miles with the Proclaimers to make love to them, then I don't understand though why you think the world would be worse if we just removed the miles. It would be better, wouldn't it? Because, you know, look, if you took all the miles between London and the moon, right, and you laid them end to end, you'd have 238,900 miles, Jamie. Right,
right,
and that's a point, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a point.
Yeah.
Sort of between two.
Well, we're not.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. We're not here to debate facts. They're already set in stone. We're here to apportion the blame to whichever minority we can use as a scapegoat. That's what I understood this debate to be about.
Well, that's now, the essence of talk radio, that all speech radio. So you're absolutely correct, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we, for example, had a little kitty when we were young called Miles.
Yeah.
We made a contraption and launched him into the air. Yeah. We called it a catapult, yeah. You see, catapult.
I know, yeah.
And anyway, we called him Air Miles after that, yeah. Kind of more in memoriam, really, because he never actually came back down to Earth. But the point is that Miles's are no good as projectiles, and neither are cats, so get rid of both of them.
Have you heard about these trials they're doing in Sweden at all? This is where they've tried it. They've cut the miles out. So what they did in between Swedish things such as flat pack furniture stores and saunas, what they did
and beautiful women
and elk. What they did, they cut the miles out. They actually marked up where the miles were, and physically sawed the miles out of the ground. And got rid of them. But here's what's happened, and this is what my argument to you, my point to you, Hamish, is that what that's done is driven miles underground, because they made miles illegal. So all you get now are a lot of black market tunnels, right? Miles have been driven underground, and people are now enjoying miles, but below the surface, as it were, away from the eye of the authorities. And of course, that's lost tax revenue for a start, isn't it? So if we go down that route, surely we're just causing more problems.
I mean, yeah, at first I thought that might be a good idea, but obviously, like you say, there are issues. I would really prefer to convert them into kilometres, because kilometres don't take up as much space as a mile.
No, that's true.
You cut off 60% of the space and 60% of the journey time, and you lower the carbon footprint. So let's just replace them with kilometres that are only, 1.7 times the size of a mile.
Would you be happy with that, Jamie? There's an argument there, isn't there, for having smaller miles?
Well, you end up with smaller miles, you end up with smaller journeys, don't you, John?
Yeah. You're coming back to that argument again about the journey being the important thing.
Well, yeah, but don't get me wrong, I think the trials in Sweden are all well and good. But I think it's terrible that kids are having to go underground with their miles. I mean, why can't miles be accepted in this world? It's the 21st century, isn't it, after all? I should be allowed to stand on my own two feet on my own front yard and enjoy a good mile.
Would you walk a mile in a man's shoes?
I would walk a mile in any man's shoes.
Would you?
Oh, that's dirty.
I would walk a mile in your shoes, sir.
That's, you sound like a Frenchman.
Right, and there we must leave the debate. We're out of time, really, on that. Could you sum up the debate for me in one word, please, Jamie?
Shoes.
Thank you. Hamish?
Barbative.
Thank you very much indeed. Interesting, isn't it? Do we need miles? Should we shorten miles? How long should a mile be? What if we just cut it down a bit? Should we maybe go back over miles that we've already travelled and reverse them, and thus giving us the mile deficit and reducing it? I mean, it's an interesting point. What do you think? Do we need miles? Should a mile be bigger or smaller? Should we collect the miles up? And if we are going to collect the miles up and hand them into the council, for example, then they're going to have to go in a special bin that's a mile long. And who's going to pay for that? All interesting questions. Let us know your thoughts, though, of course. The number's 87222. You can start your message with the word talk. on Twitter. Start your message with any word you like. Miles. Do we need them in post-Brexit Britain? We've got lens cleaner now and ferrous metal. So why do we need them? Let me know. I'm John Holmes. It's Talk Radio. And that's the big debate.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling notes, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops a feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag refreshing stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause the citrus ain't enough.
Imagine this. It's time to change your car. Someone offers to buy it. Great. But only if you buy your new car from them. Ugh. Which means you don't have the freedom to shop around for a better deal. Well, that's what happens when you trade your car in. So why not try selling to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then you'll be a cash buyer, all footloose and fancy free, off to try and get a better deal on your next car. Imagine that. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See webuyanycar.com/info.
My thing? Popping on the Lycra and swallowing the odd insect. I'm into my cycling, you see. We meet every Sunday morning, 7:30 on the dot. We just planned a trip to the Alps, well, the Welsh Alps, so we need a new bike rack. It's got to keep four bikes safe on the roof whilst we plan our Tour de Wales and the car underneath.
Sounds like Ben's thing is a roof-mounted four-bike car carrier rack. Find your thing on eBay, the UK's number one online destination for car parts and accessories. eBay. Find your thing.
So you kick around the idea of getting rid of your greys with Just for Men, but all your intel comes from your lovely lady, who goes to that dreaded place, the salon.
Then there's the foil and the sitting, the hot dryer, more rinsing, more sitting, more rinsing, more sitting, more
rinsing. Mate, that's not for you. That's for the ladies. That's why Just for Men is made
for men.
Getting rid of your grey takes about 5 minutes. Yeah, it's that easy. Now you're not only back to your natural hair colour, you're back at the pub, where you belong. Just for Men. Find it in the men's aisle.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
On the M25, we have slow traffic due to an earlier broken down vehicle. That's anti-clockwise between junction 24 and junction 23. In Derbyshire, we have one lane closed and slow traffic. That's due to a broken down vehicle on the M1. That's northbound between junction 25 and junction 26. In Cheshire, we have one lane blocked and slow traffic due to a broken down truck. That's on the M6 northbound between junction 16 and junction 17. And in Manchester, a number of local roads do still remain closed and Victoria Station remains shut. I'm Sammy Jo Lowe.
You can talk loads on the internet. I talk to my friends all the time, even like 5 or 7 at once. I can talk to my older brother at uni. I can even talk with people I've never heard of, like BubbleBob77, who wants to hang out. Shall I tell him where I live?
When your kids have questions about the internet, make sure it's you they turn to. Regular chats together will help you keep them safe. For help and advice from O2 and NSPCC, search Share Aware.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon, I am John Holmes. Now, with an election on the way, campaigning is suspended, of course, after Monday's horrific attack in Manchester at present, but it's not far away now, the general election, and you're probably wondering who to vote for. Well, you've come to the right place. Talk Radio is the station for general election coverage, as you know, and we are here to help. Now, imagine BBC's political editor, Laura Kussenberg. Imagine her. Imagine her now.
Can.
Yeah.
Find it easy to.
Now imagining a scruffier version of her. What have you got? Robert Peston, haven't you?
Yeah, Robert Peston.
Yeah. Now imagine an even scruffier, far fewer educated version of that who doesn't really know anything at all, at all. Imagine that. Well, yeah, that's right. He's taken his time out of his busy schedule to inform you of the options you have to vote for so you're prepared when heading into the polling booth. Each day, our political editor, Cornelius.
Hello.
Who earlier we learned performed a striptease in a dinosaur onesie. Prompting someone to text us with the legend Corneliusosaurus Rex.
That was good.
Dave Stevenson on Twitter. Anyway, Cornelius is here. He's going to be shining. He has been shining his election spotlight on a different constituency each day, zoning in on the candidates and the local issues. We've been up and down the country with it, haven't we? Today's no different, and it's the turn. We're going down the country from where we are in London. The constituency, Plymouth, Sutton and Davenport. It's election spotlight.
Hello, the people of Plymouth, Sutton and Devonport. I am Talk Radio's award-winning political editor, Cornelius Mendez, and consider this a helpful guide as to who you can vote for in this June's general election. And whilst I've always been a fan of Plymouth, it's always been the Sutton and Devonport area that for me has been the best attraction. The rest of Plymouth looks like mud to the diamond that is Sutton and Devonport. From Efford to Peverell, the area is famous for attractions such as Mutley Plain and Mount Gould, which is where the Gould brothers were first forged, only later to be torn apart by the curse of James Whale. So take a moment to stop admiring Smeaton's Tower and listen carefully as I guide you through your options on the polling card for this June.
Henrietta Bewley for the Liberal Democrats.
Henrietta is a former British Airways business analyst, now working as a freelance singer and teacher. She says that she is concerned about the future of the city's fishing industry and pollution in the sea, and has promised to promote Plymouth's business and attract investment. She thinks countries worldwide are investing in new rail infrastructure, and it is time the UK government benefited the whole country, especially the South West, with faster rail links and not just to London.
Danny Bamping, Independent.
Danny is an entrepreneur who appeared on BBC show Dragon's Den in 2005 and is now the spokesman for the British Big Cat Society. He's standing with the No Party, a movement aimed at changing the political conversation, offering a none-of-the-above option through independence. He wants to appeal to the No voters, which amounts to some 35% in Plymouth, apparently, as there is clearly no party worth voting for, according to him.
Oliver Colville for the Conservative Party.
Colville was first elected in 2010 and appointed Parliamentary Private Secretary to the Ministers of State and to the Ministry of Defence. He says that whether it's securing the future of our city by ensuring that more money is going to the defence budget, using Mayflower 400 as a driver for change in the economy and local infrastructure, or campaigning for a resilient railway, he's worked hard for the city and he wants to continue doing so.
Richard Michael Ellison for the UK Independence Party.
Richard Michael has been a Davenport resident for 14 years and is a charity administrator. He believes that the constituency has a lovely community and he wants to keep it that way. Ellison wants Britain to regain the sovereignty and their own governance from Brexit.
Luke Pollard for the Labour Party.
Luke works advising on major construction projects. He believes that tourism is vital for the South West's economy. He spent 5 years working for ABTA, the trade body that represents travel and holiday companies, and is happy to back their Value Tourism campaign in this general election. Within 100 days of being elected, Luke said he would host a Plymouth Brexit summit, bringing together employees, businesses, trade unions, the fishing industry, scientists, universities, trade bodies, voters, young people, exporters and importers, and the City Council to hammer out their demands for Brexit.
Daniel Sheaf for the Green Party.
Daniel is currently the party's vice coordinator and campaigns officer. He said the Green Party offers people something different through local and direct democracy. The party ensures its members' voices are not only heard, but actually have the power to make the decisions which impact them. So there we have it, the people of Plymouth, Sutton and Davenport. The choice is yours. Head down to your local polling station, whether that be Marlborough Primary School, the Keyham Green Places Centre or any of the others, and make sure your vote counts. Because if you vote, you'll be feeling good. And I'm feeling
good. Muse, who are from Devon. There we go. Election Spotlight, our latest Election Spotlight. We are travelling around the country with our political editor, a sort of a scruffier, scrawnier, boss-eyed, genital-haired...
Genital-haired?
Well, the hair on your head's like that off other people's things, aren't they? Version of Robert Peston, really, aren't you? But with no knowledge or skill.
Well, that's offensive, and my politics degree from the University of Kent begs to differ.
Well... Anyway, so you know what we've got to do now, don't you?
No.
I'm going to tell you. It's a Paul Ross live read.
Finally!
Aha! So, you know, we've talked about live reads before on this programme. Mm. We're given a thing we have to read out, contractually. And I've got been handed a bit of paper that they said, you have to read this out. And it's called the Paul Ross live read. so I was going to, I don't know whether to bring some drama to it or just...
I don't know. Just read it out, I guess.
Just do it, really.
Do it. Read it out.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Ross live read.
What's this?
For
3 billion human lives ended on August the 29th, 1997. The survivors of the nuclear fire called the war the full set breakfast. They lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. The computer which controlled the machines didn't work because it was one from this building, but it sent two Terminators back through time. Their mission? To destroy the leader of the human resistance, Paul Ross. The first Terminator was programmed to strike at Paul Ross. Oh no, at me, sorry. Paul Ross's mother. Before he was born. It failed. The second was set to strike at Paul Ross himself when he was still a child. As before, the resistance was able to send a lone warrior, a protector for Paul Ross. It was just a question of which one would reach him first. There, I've done it.
That wasn't it. I did get the email earlier. No, I haven't printed it off for you. I don't know what's happened, but...
Well, what I was trying to do was sort of liven it up a bit.
Okay, so
again, because it's
I understand.
So I did the beginning.
What you have to do
of Terminator 2.
Okay, well, I haven't seen that film, so can you just read it out, because that didn't really give any of the information that we're trying to get across.
Do you want the music with it?
Yeah.
All right.
Next week. Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast is going on tour. With the general election just around the corner, Paul Ross will be in a different place each day, covering the marginal constituencies in England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Paul and the team will be, this is Monday morning, their first location.
Where?
Brighton. He'll be joined by candidates and local voices. Has he stolen this idea from your spotlight thing?
It sounds it a bit.
It sounds a bit, doesn't it? So our budget means you don't get to leave the studio, but there, you're around the place. Anyway, it's the Marginal Mystery Tour. That's what they've called it.
Not too happy about that. My idea got roundly rejected.
What was yours?
Paul Ross gets round and about.
Yeah, Paul Ross round and about.
No, Paul Ross gets round and about.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong
with
that?
Yeah, I thought it flowed well.
It does.
You know, it will register.
Yeah.
But no.
All right. Anyway, it's all next week on the Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio. They're going on tour. They're going around the country.
Bringing Big arena tour.
All the election coverage. So, in fact, in the next half an hour, here is what there will be. Well, for a start, there will be some bonus news, which we're going to bring you. There's also going to be a new game, which is called Snowflake Buckaroo. It won't work. We haven't tried it out. We haven't rehearsed it. It'll be rubbish, but we're going to be doing it before 4 o'clock this afternoon. Right, you're listening to Talk Radio. It is Wednesday. I am John Holmes. It's just after 3:30. Here's Victoria now. She's got the latest news.
Talk Radio.
A serving police officer has been confirmed as one of the 22 victims of the Manchester suicide bombing. Police haven't confirmed they're hunting a bomb maker and accomplices of Salman Abedi, but the Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police, Ian Hopkins, has said he doesn't think he was working alone.
I think it's very clear that this is a network that we are investigating, and as I've said, it continues at a pace. There's extensive investigations going on and activity taking place across Greater Manchester as we speak.
Talk Radio's Alex Dibble is outside a building in the city centre which has been raided by police.
They carried out a controlled explosion to remove the door of the flat, which is now being searched. One resident told me officers obtained a silver suitcase. Another said many packages have been arriving recently at number 39, which was used as an Airbnb. Raids have also taken place in South Manchester, where three arrests were made this morning.
The suspected attacker's father has insisted his son is innocent and has told told the AP news agency that his other son has been arrested. While almost 1,000 soldiers are being deployed on Britain's streets to guard key sites like tourist attractions and transport hubs, but police say there won't be any in Manchester. In other news, a lorry driver has been arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving after five people were killed in a crash on the M6 in Staffordshire. And President Trump has met the Pope at the Vatican. The pair appeared to set aside previous differences to offer a message of peace. The weather mostly dry, although patchy drizzle is possible in the far northwest of Scotland later. It's going to stay mild for many tonight, with the temperature getting down to 11 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be warm and sunny with highs of 25. There's more in half an hour.
There's more now, but not with Victoria, who is very busy today, so we're going to let her get off and be newsy. But there is still more, because we can't let bonus news... already, the clamouring on social media for bonus news. The reason we have to make the time up is that the bulletins for the news aren't shorter than they used to be, so that's why we have bonus news. We bring you animal news, vegetable news and mineral news. And today we have a guest bonus news reader. Find out who it is after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Delaney, live at Drive. Get the full service and parts experience with essential debate, big name guests and a truckload of topical emissions.
Traffic stopping, drive time entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delicious, de-groovy, de-lovely, Delaney.
Stop. Look, listen to Sam Delaney.
Get involved.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, yes, indeed. It's normally around this time we bring you bonus news. Victoria can't do it today. She's very busy, as you'd imagine, what with all the ongoing breaking news and so on and so forth. So we have a special guest bonus news reader today bringing us mineral news.
Mineral news.
Mineral news.
Mineral news.
Mineral news.
Mineral news. Mineral news.
It's Cornelius.
News.
Which we've given to him to do, but of course regular listeners will know that he can't actually read, so this could be interesting. Are you getting some of Victoria's money for this, by the way?
Yeah, yes. We've agreed it with Victoria, and that I am going to be getting the section of money that would normally be paid for.
And rightly so.
Yes, okay. Thanks for everyone for being so understanding, because it was an awkward conversation. Unfortunately, it's made a lot easier without Victoria.
Yeah, go on.
Common mineral misconceptions could be holding cattle back, John.
What?
Purina Animal Nutrition have debunked 4 cattle mineral misconceptions.
I didn't know there were cattle mineral misconceptions. I have.
You didn't know about the big 4 myths?
I have never been awake at night thinking, oh my goodness, what about the cattle mineral misconceptions?
By skipping mineral supplementation, yeah, you may be skipping out on performance and profit potential, says Kent Chiardis, PhD, and cattle consultant with Purina Animal Nutrition.
Right, you're doing animal news as well now.
But minerals are vital to provide cattle productivity, John.
You can't read, can you?
Someone's deliberately put long words on this. Okay. So it's important to have the facts straight. So you know the big 4 facts, don't you? The big 4 myths, sorry.
About cows?
Yeah, yeah.
Udders?
No.
They don't have udders, really. That's a myth.
No, the big 4 mineral myths.
Mineral news.
Yes, thank you. Myth 1, minerals cost too much. It's a myth.
Is it?
According to this paper.
Wow.
Myth 2, my cows won't eat mineral.
Well, you can't.
Or they eat too much mineral.
You can lead a cow to a rock, but you can't make it eat.
Myth 3, my herd is too small or too large to control intake of mineral.
Right.
Myth 4.
What is a myth?
Myth 4.
Is it like a milf? What is
no,
it?
No, it's a myth.
A myth. A myth.
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 A myth. Myth Thor, and this is the most common mineral myth amongst racists, which is we don't need mineral in our area.
Mineral news.
Great. Okay, what else have you got?
Iron Man, Spider-Man and Minions will be making appearances in the town centre and Barnstaple Panier Market on Tuesday, May the 3rd. And there'll also be free face painting. There'll also be free face painting between the market between 10:30 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mineral News.
Is there any more?
Yeah, I've got loads.
All right, hang on.
A quarry garden at Chelsea Flower Show has won a gold medal. Critics described it as an ugly, overgrown quarry. The design, voted best show garden, features overgrown plants around limestone blocks and was based on a disused stone works in Malta. Its creator, James Basson, said he is fanatical about quarries, who isn't, and that it is not supposed to be pretty. It's supposed to be stark and monumentally brutal. John, your thoughts?
If I mean, I'm a big fan of quarries, like the next man, and but I'd say Baggington. I would say Malta. Malta's got one. I visited one on Jersey once. Forts.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that at all. I've got two more.
Because you can't pronounce TH.
More myth news, John.
Yeah.
Carbon bike repair is not a myth. Carbon bike builders want you to buy new frames when you break one. Jason Magnus of Gear Junkie is here to say you don't have to.
Is he here?
No.
Oh.
That's what the paper said.
All right.
And finally, DJ Khaled's star-studded single "I'm the One" has achieved platinum status. John, the song is a contender for Song of the Summer and features appearances from Quavo, Chance the Rapper, Lil Wayne, Justin Bieber, and Justin Bieber on the hook.
On the what?
On the hook.
They've hung him up.
No, it's the hook of the song, John.
Right. And he's on it, is he?
Yeah, sorry, I should have got you a Mineral News jargon buster.
Yeah, you
for
should.
This.
Yeah.
Mineral News.
Anyway, a lot of text coming in, thank you very much. John Holmes,
oh, God.
Why are you ruining Mineral News by giving it to someone who can't read? Hashtag Mineral News, that's coming from Marcus. Who forgot that Connor can't read, says Dave, hashtag Mineral News. So, anyway, there it was. Mineral News. In the next bit, please come back, Victoria, please. In the next bit of the programme, we bring you a brand new game. Excuse me, which won't work at all. It's called Snowflake Buckaroo. It's like Buckaroo, you know, with a donkey, but instead of a donkey and tools, it's like a snowflake millennial and trigger words. Let's see if it works. It won't. Next, on Talk Radio, in the afternoons, I'm John Holmes, and that was Mineral News.
Mineral News. Mineral News.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
At Argos, this bank holiday, get great deals on barbecues. And an extra 25% off furniture when you spend over £200 with code FERN25. Plus, get a free £10 voucher when you spend £100. Go Argos. Selected lines, conditions apply. Offers end 6th of June. Voucher off ends 3rd of June. Excludes gift card purchases.
Right, that's it. This relationship is over.
Eric.
When I think of the money I spent on you, but it was never enough, was it? There was always something else. What was it you had to have last time?
Eric!
A starter motor?
At Van Monster, every van is covered by our price match promise, our unique 5-day money-back guarantee, and includes a 6-month warranty. Terms and conditions apply. Find your perfect work partner at vanmonster.com.
I'm leaving you for a younger van.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Emmanuelle received over £2,400 on her Barclaycard.
I had already attempted to claim back PPI, but with no success, so I wasn't hopeful when I first contacted Stanton Fisher. Needless to say, I was pleasantly surprised with the outcome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Say the end of the month comes rolling around, and has been rather a quiet one on the old YouTubing front. But instead of getting to keep that lovely data that you paid for but didn't use, it just disappears. Say, that doesn't seem very fair. But say there was a new mobile company, one that rolls any unused data for you to use next month, next year, or even 3 years later. Well, say hello to Sky Mobile. Sky, believe in better.
You can redeem your data in 1 gigabyte increments.
For full terms, go to sky.com/mobile.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
In Northamptonshire, we have queue and traffic and one lane closed. That's due to an accident. Two vehicles involved on the M1. That's northbound between junction 18 and junction 19. In Worcestershire, we have two lanes closed and slow traffic. That's due to an accident on the M42 southbound. That's between junction 3 and junction 2. In North Yorkshire, we have one lane closed due to a broken down vehicle. That's on the M62 heading westbound. That's between junction 34 and junction 33. And in Manchester, a number of local roads do still remain closed and Victoria Station remains shut. I'm Sammy Jo Lowe.
You can talk loads on the internet. I talk to my friends all the time, even like 5 or 7 at once. I can talk to my older brother at uni. I can even talk with people I've never heard of, like BubbleBob77, who wants to hang out. Shall I tell him where I live?
When your kids have questions about the internet, make sure it's you they turn to. Regular chats together will help you keep them safe. For help and advice from O2 and NSPCC, search Share Aware.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
I'm Howard Hughes. Join me this Sunday night from 10 for a trip into the outer limits.
Untwist the lid on Talk Radio's specimen jar of the psychic, the supernatural, and the simply unexplained.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time, on Talk Radio.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So very quickly then, just run through some of your texts that have been coming in. Now, this is off the back of the story that Leeds and Reading festivals and other festivals across the summer might well be drugs testing people. But not the people, they're drugs, because they have basically said that people will take drugs. They know people take drugs to festivals, but wouldn't it be better if indeed they were checked to make sure they were safe and not full of horrible stuff that will kill you? So they are thinking of introducing these tests to test a bit of your stash and let you keep the rest, which is quite forward-thinking and progressive. Anyway, because it's music festivals, we thought we'd do music and drugs today. What's been coming in, Cornelius?
Lots of texts and tweets, John.
All right, what do they say, though?
Alex Sievright sent in too. He said, "Paracetamol, moldy old dough."
Right.
And "Marijuana Bee" by the Spice Girls.
Good.
That's a double one.
Yeah. Stoned Temple Pilots.
Yes, very good.
In there. Kenny Speedball and his Jazz Men from Dave.
Very good.
Yeah. Anyway, just getting through some of those. The news is... have you got more?
Yeah, Jeff. We don't want to leave them out. Jeff has said, "Don't you forget about Meow Meow." And "Narcotic Tick 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 Boom" by The Hives.
By The Hives. All right, good. Fine. All right, so thank you very much indeed for those. Don't keep them coming in. Now, it's the news. Very complicated, isn't it? We're here to help, of course. That's what we do. We analyse the news, and we do it on this programme through the medium of Japanese poetry. 5 syllables, 7 syllables, and 5 syllables. We present the news in haikus.
Flamingos, one leg, balance saves energy like a green heather mills.
The news in haikus. Right, now it is time to attempt to play a new radio game. It's new game time. Now, what's that game you get? You remember where you have a donkey and you pile lots of stuff onto it. You know, tools, pickaxes, rope, a spade, a hat, other stuff. You keep piling it on, don't you, until the donkey collapses. What's it called? That's right, animal cruelty. It's very popular in Spain. But also Buckaroo, where the donkey is made of plastic. You push it down to set it, if you've ever played Buckaroo, and you carefully, don't you, take it in turns to pile on the stuff. But uh-oh, when it all gets too much, the donkey kicks off, doesn't it? It kicks it all off. Buckaroo, do you remember that? So now we bring it bang up to date for millennials as we play Snowflake Buckaroo. Right, here's how it works then. What we've got in the studio here is...
It's rednecks.
That's right.
Cotton Eye Joe.
That's right.
Wow.
It? That's what I'm using as bed music. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's cowboyish, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got, like Buckaroo. There's a snowflake millennial all upset by trigger words and boo-hoo, so offended by utterly nothing, boo-hoo. Oh, I'm so hypersensitive, I'm millennial. Right, so what we're going to do is take that millennial, it's a plastic millennial, like the donkey, it's not real, obviously, it's a game. And what we're going to do is we're going to hang trigger words and situations on the millennial, and don't worry, as I say, like, it's not a real donkey, it's not a, it's a plastic millennial snowflake, it's made of non-binary plastic, so as not to offend, okay? So, like Lynn Buckaroo with the donkey, when it can take no more of the trigger words, the millennial will kick off and run to the safe space. All right? That's how it's... That's going to... So, each trigger word and situation is worth points. The first contestant, right, will be hanging triggering situations on the snowflake. They're worth points. The moment you get up to 21, carefully hanging on the things, right? Mm-hmm. Oh! It kicks off. Game over. All right? Is that clear?
No.
No, it isn't, is it? But let's see what happens anyway. We need two contestants. The first one is called Graham. Hello, Graham. Hi, Graham. Hi, Graham.
You
right? Oh, hello. There you go. Right. How are you, Graham?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate.
All right, good. Good. Where are you, Graham?
I'm in Southwark.
Southwark?
SE.
All right.
London.
Fine, all right. That's fine. All right, well, look. So, listen, here's how it's going to work, okay? Graham, we're gonna give you... you're going to hear some phrases that are millennial snowflake phrases, all right? And you get to hang... Okay. You get to hang them on our millennial snowflake, and each of them is worth points. If you get to 21, you bust, you're out, the snowflake kicks off, runs to the safe space. You'll be playing...
How do you do that on radio?
Well, wait and see, Graham. The magic of radio, Graham, wait and see. We don't know either, because we've never done it before. But anyway, Claire's on the other line. Hello, Claire.
Hello.
Hi there. How are you, Claire?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. And where are you calling from?
I'm at work in Croydon.
In Croydon. All right, fine. So, did you get the gist of how this is going to work? I mean, it's, I haven't explained it very well, but you know, so... You know, you.
Yeah.
What do you do, Claire? By the way,
I'm a teacher.
Oh right, what age group?
14 to 19.
Oh, so you're well versed up on the millennials then.
Oh yes.
Oh,
yes,
and a little
yes,
trigger.
I know all about them.
Little trigger words, isn't it? Right. Okay. So here's what's going to happen. I'm gonna give you the choice each, right, of things to in each round to hang on, right. And you'll take it in turns, and then you're going to hang it on the snowflake. The snowflake is here and poised. We've set it. It's ready. Each of these is worth points. The moment you get to 21, it kicks off. It's all over. Okay, let's play Snowflake Buckaroo. Let's do it. Okay, Graham, because we spoke to you first, for no other reason, we're going to go to you first. You can choose, and I'm not going to tell you the points, of course, until we've hung them on. You can choose out of these two millennial trigger phrases, all right? Do you want transgender fluidity, or do you want to hang on to the millennial kink shaming? Which of those phrases would you like to hang on?
The former, please.
The transgender fluidity. All right, okay. So that leaves you with kink shaming, Claire. So
okay, that's fine.
We're just going to hang them on the millennial on your behalf, and I can tell you that they're both worth an equal 5 points. Five points. So you've both got five towards the dangerous 21. All right, so far. Here's round two. Claire gets to choose first. Claire, are you going to hang on to the millennial middle-class white privilege or gender norms?
Oh, I'm going to go for gender norms.
Gender norms? That leaves you with middle-class white privilege. Graham, I can tell you that gender norms is worth 4 points.
Who went for that?
Claire.
That was me.
That was Claire, yeah.
And middle-class white privilege, 6 points.
Wow.
Oh, so Cornelius, bring us up to date quickly on the scores there.
Okay, Graham has 11. Yeah. Claire is holding tight on nine.
Remember, whenever you get to 21, you are out and it is over. Here's the third round. Graham.
Sorry, you haven't said whether reaching 21 is...
I don't know,
it's hard to say. Is 21 a good or a
bad
thing?
No, bad. When you get to 21, I said this, when you get to 21, it all kicks off. And it's over.
So it's like golf.
You're bust.
It's like
golf. I've got virginity at 21, but like, you know, there. Like.
Yeah, well, that doesn't really count. But anyway, that's fine. Now, okay, so here's round three. Graham, do you want to choose to hang on to the millennial? Use of a microaggressive word or cultural appropriation of the Caribbean by making a fruit smoothie?
Mate, pina coladas were big, weren't they?
Yeah. What are you going to go for?
I think the first one again.
Use of a microaggressive word is 3 points. He's got 3 points on that one.
No!
By default, Claire has to have the other one. It's five.
It's five.
All right, who's getting closer? Cornelius is adding all the scores. She's got 5 points there, Cornelius.
They're both on 14.
They're both on 14.
You're both on 14.
Right, you could go bust here. You don't know yet.
I'm
21.
Excited.
Isn't it exciting? All right, okay. So who's choosing first this time? Claire is. Okay, Claire, yes. Out of these two things, do you want non-binary assumption identity or adulting struggle?
I'm going to go for adulting struggle.
Right, and that leaves non-binary assumption identity for Graham. They're both worth 2 points. 2 points.
Oh, okay.
Oh, both on neck and neck.
Neck and neck. 16.
Oh. All right, okay, next one. Graham, you choose first. Here we go. Do you want to hang on to the millennial? Historic.
Yes, I do.
All right. Historic statue of a man who was once involved in the slave trade or hashtag fat people so white? Which of those? Which of those do you want?
Which one, Graham?
Second one, please. That one.
You're going on for fat people so white. You're going historic statue of a man who was once involved in the slave trade. I can tell you, historic statue of a man who was once involved in the slave trade, which is Claire.
Yeah.
Is 5 points.
Okay.
Okay. And now, Graham, now you, if...
I've won!
No, Graham. No, because Claire is now on 20. Claire is on 20. She could go bust next time.
Don't shout near the millennial.
Unless, of course, this takes you over the 21. How many points is hashtag fat people so white worth? I can tell you, Cornelius, it's worth 7 points. It's gone bust! Claire, congratulations. Yes. Claire, come on. You've got... Oh. Graham went bust in the very first game of Buckaroo Snowflake, which sort of half worked.
Hey.
Yeah, good.
I think we're all losers here.
In many ways, we all are. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Claire. Well done. I think it's your millennial teaching job that helps you through that. Anyway, there you go. That was Buckaroo Snowflake. I mean, something happened, so it's fine. Buckaroo Snowflake available only on Talk Radio in the afternoon. Right, tomorrow on the programme, before Sam Delaney gets in here to tell us about what's coming up on his programme, I can tell you that we'll be joined by the author Jeff Kinney. You'll know him because he wrote Diary of a Wimpy Kid, didn't he? You know, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, you know. The books and indeed the films. He's going to be joining us on the programme tomorrow on Talk Radio. It's now 5 minutes to 4 o'clock. Sam Delaney is here for Drive Time. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Hi, Sam.
You're all right. How are you?
I'm all right. So we are obviously going to be bringing the latest from Manchester throughout the show. Indeed. Alex Dibble's up there. I'm sure you've probably spoken to him today. No, you haven't. All right. Well, I will be.
Good.
And we'll be keeping listeners updated throughout the day. We will find time for other bits and bobs. I interviewed Sully. Do you know the film Sully?
Tom Hanks.
Yes, Tom Hanks. Yep. It's the bloke who Tom Hanks plays, the real-life hero who landed his aeroplane on the Hudson.
Very good.
Real-life American hero.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I pre-recorded an interview with him last week because the film's coming out on Blu-ray, and it was an interesting chat, so you can listen to that.
Yeah.
His own personal experience of pulling off that amazing crash landing on the Hudson River a few years ago. And we'll also, I think, you know, Sir Roger Moore, to me, and so many of it was such a huge icon, it warrants a continued reflection on his life and times. And today we will have none other than my own brother Theo Delaney talking about the time he made an advert for some beer in Ireland with Roger Moore.
That's not bad as an anecdote,
but it is a great anecdote. He shot a commercial, an Irish beer company spent a lot of money on getting Roger Moore to promote their local beer, all of which I believe he gave to UNICEF anyway. And the story of making the ad is fantastic. So I've worked very hard and managed to secure my brother on the phone.
Well done.
About 6 o'clock.
More than Paul Ross can do.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
Sam Delaney with you next. We'll drive it here on Talk Radio. We're back tomorrow, 1 till 4, and hopefully my cough will have gone by then. I'm John Holmes. Good afternoon.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio. The latest breaking news, expert analysis and outspoken opinion.
And I, for one, am proud of that.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.